They're moving to declassify 2002 testimony from former anti-terror advisor Richard Clark and compare it to this week's testimony under oath, possibly catching Clark in a lie. Meantime, NBC's Tim Russert says the National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, is offering to talk with the 9/11 Commission again, but not under oath.
She is saying in executive privilege, she should be protected from that. The Congressional Research Service has come forward with suggestions and indications that people in her position previously have testified under oath. The White House counters, those were different. Those were criminal or quasi-criminal investigations.
John Kerry is promising to create 10 million jobs if he's elected president. It's part of his new economic plan. And the government has approved the first oral test for HIV. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Oh, Raymond.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
They taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
Tonight on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tonight at 10, 9 Central on USA Network.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Planix Toys, and we got a bunch of injury accidents around the metro area. Injury accidents coming in Wadsworth and Crestline, southbound Washington to westbound I-70, University and Evans in the latest one, 20th and Market. Come to Planix now and save up to $1,100 on Backyard Adventure swing sets. Planix Total Safety for total fun. Planix Toys, Englewood, Lone Tree, Flatirons, and Littleton. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, Denver police are still on the lookout for a suspect in two attempted sexual assaults last night. Following the incidents, police warned residents near the University of Denver to lock their doors. The first call came in about 7:45 last evening from a woman in the 1900 block of South William Street, saying that a man had come into her home through an unlocked back door and tried to rape her. The man ran away when she screamed. About 15 minutes later, another call came from a woman who was walking near South High Street and East Wesley Avenue. She was able to escape after the man attacked her from behind. Police believe the same man is responsible for both assaults. He's described as dark-skinned, maybe Hispanic, with short hair and is about 5 feet 10 inches tall. He weighs around 200 pounds and had on a red or white shirt and dark shorts. Officials don't think the man is armed, but they say he is considered dangerous. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Todd Dankers with the National Weather Service says enjoy these warm temperatures while you can.
There's a cold front that's kind of moving across Utah right about now, and that's going to continue across the state later tonight, going to move across Colorado and across Denver probably after midnight. And then tomorrow we're only looking for high temperatures only in the lower to mid-50s.
Danker says we probably won't hit our record high for this date, which was 84 degrees set in 1971. Starting tomorrow morning, the area around I-25, I-225 interchange will have a new look. Karen Morales says all the fun begins at 7:15.
We will be simultaneously imploding two old bridges in the I-25, I-225 interchange. Leading up to that point, we will stop traffic down on all directions heading into the interchange at approximately 7 a.m., and as soon as the blast occurs, we will reopen traffic.
Morales says, starting tonight at 10, the southbound I-225 to southbound I-25 ramp and tunnel will be closed for the weekend. That's because of the implosion and cleanup of the resulting rubble. The tunnel will reopen Monday morning at 5:30. Morales adds that the implosions will be televised, but you need to watch closely the whole thing. It's only going to last about 2 seconds. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into Seattle tonight to play the Supersonics. Seattle beat the Nuggets when they last played in December. Nuggets are coming off their win over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Wednesday. Colorado Rockies take on the Chicago White Sox this afternoon as spring training in Arizona continues. Yesterday, the Rocks played to a 3-all 10th-inning tie with the San Francisco Giants. Colorado Avalanche get another shot at the Red Wings as the Avs head to Detroit tomorrow for a day game. last night at the Pepsi Center, the Avs lost 3-1 to the Red Wings. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun out there today. Very warm, a high of near 80. Tonight, mostly cloudy, breezy, down to 43. Partly cloudy to start tomorrow, then those clouds increase. Isolated rain shower, slight chance of storms for the afternoon. Cooler, 58. Sunday, partly cloudy, then those clouds increase with isolated showers, high of 56. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 76 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We might have some surprises for you today. We might not. Some comedy people might be dropping by. They might not. We don't know. We'll let you know as we know. But here's what we are going to be doing. We're going to be giving away some tickets today to Madstone Theater's premiere Pix series. This is Tony Shalhoub's Made Up is the name of the film starring Brooke Adams. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. the value will be $15. We're going to give away two pairs of passes. Winners are also going to be able to purchase tickets to KNRC's wine tasting event before the movie screening, and that is for the discounted price of $20. Normally it would be $23, and that screening is for what, tomorrow night? When are the movie passes for, Joe? The movie passes are for tonight, but the wine tasting is for tomorrow night? For tonight also? The wine tasting? I thought that was tomorrow night. Wine tasting is tonight? You sure about that? Find out for sure. Because I think maybe, my understanding was that it was tomorrow night, but if you win tonight, you get tickets, discount on the wine tasting, which is for normally it'd be $23, you get them for $20, and the wine tasting is going to be led by Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, Brenda Francis, and the Madstone Theater is in Tamarack Square. So we'll be giving those away somewhere during the show. So the wine tasting is tonight. Okay, everything is tonight. If you win tickets, you get a free pass. It's $15. We're going to give away two pairs of passes. So four tickets altogether during the show sometime. So you got to listen. We're bribing you to listen. Also, next week, on Monday, we're going to be giving away tickets to Tommy Franks, retired 10-year-old Tommy Franks, and he'll be speaking Tuesday night at Betcher Hall, so I think we're going to have several pairs of tickets to give away for him. Next week, we're going to be joined by David Shipler, former New York Times reporter. He's written a book called The American Poor, Invisible in America. Wednesday, we'll be talking to Sophie Kinsella here from England on the Shopaholic series that she's done that's gotten so much response. Margaret Atwood, the famed author, will be joining us on Friday live in studio. Thursday, David K. Johnston. I think he's also former New York Times reporter. Perfectly Legal, the covert campaign to rig our tax system to benefit the super rich and cheat everybody else. And he's going to be joining us next week. So And I'll give you a rundown of Made Up, the film. And that's what's coming up. And put on your calendar April the 19th. It's a Monday night. I'm scheduled to be leading a book discussion at Tatter Cover Lodo, 7 o'clock, on the One Book, One Denver book, which is Peace Like a River. And it's open to the public. A lot of us are helping to lead these book discussions. So if you have a chance to come down to Lodo, April the 19th, 7 p.m., I'd love to meet you. Hairspray, which I saw the other night, it is getting first-class reviews, A's, A-minuses, you name it. It was really fabulous, so I'm glad to see that the critics thought so as well. It is a fabulous evening. It's only for about 2 weeks, so get your tickets, because otherwise you're going to miss out on it. And there are matinees, and the number to call, 303-893-4100. It was a fabulous evening of theater. We have a lot to talk about. I don't know where to get started. Here are the Democrats. They're putting in front of Democratic headquarters, they have a doormat, and it's got Bush's picture on it. It says, "Give Bush the boot." And I am wearing, Jim Morris sent me this T-shirt. He sent me a bunch of T-shirts. And I am wearing mine, the black one, which I like a lot, and it says, "Loser." It's got a picture of George W. Bush. And somebody come in here. Joe, come in here and read this on the air, because I can't read it upside down. Come in and get yourself suited up here. Our producer, Joe Anderson, he's going to read my T-shirt for you, because it's got a picture of George W. It's a black T-shirt. It was Jim Morris who sent us these T-shirts of Boulder, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Okay. So he sent these T-shirts, and I think we gave him the idea for some of these, or somebody who listens. They're like, anyway, and here's a picture. It's a black T-shirt, and here's a picture of George W. Bush's face in white, and everything is in white, and it says, "Loser." And now I'm going to stand up so you can read the T-shirt. All right, what does it say? Can you read it?
It says, Joe? "Loser, lost election, lost surplus, lost jobs, lost moral high ground, lost allies, lost compassion, lost trust, lost clean water, clean air, lost environment, lost wildlife, lost civil liberties, lost lives."
Wow. Does it say lost his mind?
They
neglected that part.
Yeah, we can get a little whiteout, maybe pencil that in there.
Well, thank you very much for this, Joe.
Thank you for coming
in to read my T-shirt. So this is Jim Morris in Boulder. These are great T-shirts. It's very stylish. I love it. I'm not usually a T-shirt person, but I like this T-shirt a lot. He sent me a bunch of them. Thank you, Jim, again. I'm going to put together two stories for you and see what you think. Here's a headline. Headline, today's New York Times. Give me a take on what you think. Here's the headline. I'll just read you the headline. U.S. Army finds its suicide rate in Iraq higher than among other GIs. So people going to Iraq are committing suicide at a greater rate than people someplace else. There's that story. And we can go into the details of it, but there it is. Second story. Washington. Laughter filled the room Wednesday night at the annual dinner for radio and TV correspondents when President Bush displayed a photograph showing him down on his knees, hands and knees, looking under furniture in his office and saying, "Those weapons of mass destruction have got to be somewhere." The joke did not seem quite so funny. CNN, which showed a clip of the event, was getting emails from unhappy viewers. Foreign newspapers were reacting with outrage, and the White House was busy defending the joke that President Bush delivered as he put on a slideshow called "The White House Election Year Album" at the Radio and Television Correspondents Association's 60th annual dinner. It is a long tradition among the Washington press corps to invite presidents and other politicians to such dinners, during which they make jokes at their own expense. A White House spokesperson said Bush was not making light of the war in Iraq, but engaging in self-deprecating humor, as is the custom at such dinners. "There's no question about the president's seriousness about this issue," she said. "As is tradition at these events, the president was poking fun at himself." The spokesperson noted that Bush's appearance included, quote, "a very moving moment in which he expressed his appreciation to American soldiers fighting abroad." Oh, yeah, but I don't think he's ever been to a funeral. The slideshow ended by showing soldiers in Afghanistan at the site where pieces of the World Trade Center were buried. Now, he's getting a lot of criticism for looking, can't find those weapons of mass destruction in the jokes he made. I have a pretty good sense of humor. I've been called pretty irreverent. I don't mind pushing the boundaries, but I thought this was pretty tasteless. If you were somebody who's got a kid over there, or a brother or a sister over there, or an aunt or an uncle over there, and the suicide rate is higher than any other place for GIs right now, and or you did have an aunt or an uncle who is not with us anymore, or who has come back without any limbs, or who, if he has or she has come back without limbs, their minds aren't the same as they were before they went. They've seen horror. They've seen war. They wake up and they jump up in a restaurant when they hear a sharp noise. I think that was a horrible joke to make. I think it was really tasteless, and I'm getting a lot of emails from a lot of you to that effect. Do you want to comment about that? 303-382-1150. It just makes a joke of people who have gone over there. And you can make a joke about anything, and God knows people in newsrooms display pretty macabre senses of humor, and I wouldn't exempt myself from that description sometimes. But to get up at a White House Correspondents' Dinner, there are a lot of places he could have made jokes, and he didn't have to do it on that one. And it just makes him look as dumb as many of us have suspected that he is. So here is Bush's, CNN is reporting that leading Democrats, the Dems, accused Bush of making inappropriate and ill-timed jokes about the hunt for weapons of mass destruction. You know, the whole joke has been on us. For us to have bought this whole story about weapons of mass destruction going to war. And it turns out that there are Republicans who are organizing themselves on behalf of John Kerry. Now, one of the questions we were talking about yesterday is this. We had one of you called in, and usually here's what's happening with couples. With couples, it's the guy who's in favor of Bush. I don't know, something about testosterone, which means that your brain, there's only enough blood in your system to power one system at a time, either his brain or you know what, and usually the brain gets short shrift, which is why I guess more men are for George W. Dickey, aptly named in this case, Dickey, and the women are typically more for the Democratic side. Well, in this particular marriage where the man called in, he has been trying to open his wife's eyes to the dangers of Dickey, and she has been unyielding until finally a light bulb went off. I don't know what it was exactly that pushed her over the tipping point. But whatever it was, she now has a lot of reservations about Dickey. Well, she isn't the only one. A lot of Republicans also have reservations about him. And they're organizing themselves in favor of John Kerry. 303-382-1150. Let me ask you, has this happened to more than one or two of you? Is this going on? Are people finally beginning to wake up who might have already voted for Bush in the last election or were pro-war? And the other question is, how tasteless were Bush's jokes? Am I being just too priggish on this? I think it's horrible. If you've got any kind of family or loved ones, friends, anybody over in Iraq, to hear him make a joke out of it, I think is absolutely, he is so dumb. I don't even know where to start. 303-382-1150. What do you think? Mike, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello. Good afternoon, Enid. I just wanted to agree with what you've just said because of the, sacrifice. I personally have family, a nephew in the Corps, in the Marine Corps. He's in Iraq. And myself being a Vietnam veteran, things like that, you don't need to deposit them eventually, like on Saturday Night Live, where they'll make more fun of George Bush by way of what he said, And
I think it's so insensitive. This, you can only send people as cavalierly to war as he and his cronies have when you have never gone yourself. And when you don't know how bad it is, it's easy to make a joke because you have no sensitivity about what families are feeling and what it's like to be there. And even if people come back physically intact, mentally they are altered and probably altered for good. And the suicide rate is higher in Iraq than it is any place else for soldiers.
I couldn't agree with you more, Enid. The only thing, I agree with you, insensitivity, because it just seems like that's almost a tagline for, the Bush administration. And I'm an independent, and, I guess I know who I'm going to be voting for. If something like this, continues to pop up between now and
who'd you vote for before?
Who did I vote for before?
Yeah, in the last election.
Oh, I chose to abstain from voting for anyone.
Well, I hope that that isn't the case now, Mike, because if you abstain, you have effectively voted for Bush. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Vin calling from Santa Fe. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Enid, I got to tell you, you're my heroine on this topic, and that's with an E.
Oh, I thought you were going to shoot me up there for a second.
No.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Because you've been pointing out, essentially, that Dick Cheney is our president, for God's sake. Because this man basically has the CEO skills
of his
cronies like Ken Lay.
Yeah, well, exactly. And let me just tell you something. For all their vaunted talk about we have experienced people behind us, he was a horrible CEO at Halliburton. He acquired Dresser Industries, which has been one asbestos lawsuit after another, you know, helping to deplete Halliburton's treasury. So Dick Cheney has not, but you know what? He's really the big dick running the White House. That's the story there.
Yeah, we have essentially no CEO that's competent there, neither of them. And essentially what Bush is, what they're doing now to justify Bush's inadequacies is they're going back and attacking Clinton. This is their only out. It's pathetic. It really is.
Well, when they start going after Clinton, you know that they can't make the argument. And nobody, if you've noticed, is trying to handle the charges that Dick Clark has made head on. They're trying to discredit him. They're releasing more transcripts. They're releasing stuff that was classified in every way. They're going after him.
Absolutely.
But I think that the more they go after him, in this case, I think the more they are looking insecure and cheesy. And his book, Last Laugh, his book is sold out. It's already in its fifth printing. And it only came out on Monday. It's already sold out in many places. I have a copy, and we're trying to get him on.
Oh, I hope you do. They have absolutely no rational argument against the man. It's all ad hominem attacks.
Well, you're right about that, Vin. I thank you for calling.
Thank you, Enid.
Call us again, 303-382-1150. Now we're going to Omaha, Nebraska. I feel like this is a national show. Kelly, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
This new thing with Bush making jokes about it, the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, the people who support him have to be doing it off faith. Because he's stupid, he's a pig, and he's a chicken hawk. I mean,
who'd you vote for in the last election?
Who did I vote for?
Yeah.
The Democrat. I can't even remember. Oh, Gore.
You voted for Gore. All right. So you're not somebody who's changed your mind. This is only confirming what your beliefs were.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Kelly. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Carrie in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
Carrie.
Yes.
I think that what he said and what he did was very unrespectful. It shouldn't have been done, especially for those of us who have served and went overseas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the level that it's being talked about by everybody who doesn't like him rings hollow because they'll complain about anything. I voted for him in the last election, and I'm not voting for him this time.
You're not? Why, Kerry?
Because... he's done to me. He's flip-flopped. He hasn't come through with stuff. He insulted veterans. He cut veterans' benefits.
Yes, he did. All this support your troops and this bogus patriotism where if you didn't agree with him, you were unpatriotic and they try and Dixie chick you.
But then again, the other side isn't any better. They're attacking him when they see a weakness when they don't have anything better to offer.
They have a lot better to offer. And how old are you?
What better do they have to offer?
How old are you, Kerry? Let me ask you.
How old am I?
Yeah.
36.
Okay, so it's a while before you're ever going to have to deal with Medicare, but by the time you're going to need it, it may not be there for you because what they have just done is they have just gutted it. So let's say they're saying that it's going to be gone by, what did they say, 2016 or was it 2019?
2019.
All right, so what is that? That's about 15 years from now. You're 36, 46. You know, you'll be getting, even before you need Medicare, it may not be there for you. And they have just given
it's not the government's job to support my medical care. It's my job. I don't live in a communist or socialist.
What do you
country.
Do? What do you, well, all right, let me ask you a question. Is it the government's job to provide you highways and interstates so you can get from point A to point B?
Yes, because we told them to do that.
Oh, we told them to do that. We told them we wanted Medicare, which is why it got passed.
No, Medicare was tremendously, not demanded by anybody.
Yes, it was. It's tremendously popular. Would you disagree with that? Medicare is a very popular program.
Depends on who you talk to.
No, darling, do a poll and arm yourself with some information. Medicare and Social Security are tremendously popular programs, Carrie. I don't know where you've been residing, but Medicare and Social Security are very, very popular. popular programs. It came to the government's attention somewhere along the line that seniors were suffering. And so in an attempt to help seniors not suffer, we have Medicare, which was instituted, I think, in the 60s, and Social Security, which was implemented sometime, I think, in the 30s. And these are to help our citizens. So do you disagree with this? Do you disagree with the popularity of both of these programs?
No, I don't disagree with the popularity. If someone's going to give you free money, most people are going to take it. There are some of us who'd rather be homeless than take a handout. I have been homeless because I didn't want anybody to help me.
Well, Carrie, I don't know. The government is in charge of doing certain things. It's in charge of imposing certain standards so that you don't get screwed. It's in charge of, putatively in charge of antitrust, anti-monopoly situations. So we aren't. Yeah, that is a joke. Is right. Allegedly, there's meat inspections so that we're not poisoned, but that's another joke. And Social Security and Medicare are an attempt to help people out. If you're lucky and you will have jobs all the way through and you'll have great pension benefits, God bless you. But if you go to a hospital, this is something that somebody else does to help you. You can't do everything on your own. The idea that we are completely independent is an idea that I would like to, caution you against thinking about, because that's really sounds to me where you are.
It's not community-based, not government-based.
All right, because it's not a choice between are you dependent or are you independent. You are interdependent. And when you have fallen at times and somebody offers you a hand up, whether it's a handout or it's a hand up, I think you're silly not to take it, because now you can get back on your feet and you can do that same thing for somebody else. And this false idea that you are in it on your own by yourself is a silly idea, because there are many people who have helped you, there are many people that you have helped, and it's a process that goes back and forth. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Want to hit the fan while you were hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jenny Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow here, back to invite you to get deeper into movies at Madstone Theaters at Tamarack Square during the Premiere Pick Series. 6 weeks of six critically acclaimed films showing for 1 week only.
And this week we'll be watching Made Up, a comedy starring Brooke Adams and Tony Shalhoub. I thought it was an interesting commentary on our culture's obsession with beauty.
It's been called a coming of middle age comedy, or better yet, Mom Gets an Extreme Makeover.
You know, I've had a crush on Brooke Adams since Days of Heaven and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And Tony Shalhoub is always entertaining. He also directed Made Up. A lot of folks know him from the TV show Monk.
I think KNRC listeners will really have a lot of fun with this film. I'd love to hear their reaction of it.
That's easy enough. Come see Made Up and then come tell Walter and me what you think. We'll be at Madstone Theaters every Saturday night leading a free discussion of the premiere picked film of the week.
Made Up runs from March 26th through April 1st, only at Madstone. For showtimes and information, call 303-752-3200 or visit madstonetheaters.com.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer's supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chevrolet products. Acres and acres of Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Impalas, and the all-new Colorado pickups are on sale at liquidation prices. Discounts are as high as $13,000 on select vehicles. During this event, profit is not a major consideration. This incredible sale is at two and only two locations, the MedVet Autoplex in Wheatridge and the MedVet Autoplex in Castle Rock. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The massive MedVet markdown sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow is up 25, the NASDAQ up about 3.5. The possibility of a mistrial looms large over the Tyco trial. Jurors say their deliberations have ceased to be effective. After lunch, the judge may ask for a recess until Monday to see if that might help. But earlier in the day, one juror flashed an OK hand sign to attorneys defending former Tyco executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Schwartz. New data on consumers today, they are feeling slightly better about the economy, that according to the University of Michigan's latest index. And the Commerce Department tells us consumer income was up 0.4% last month, while consumer spending rose only 0.2%. That's due to shoppers cutting back on purchases of long-lasting durable goods. Senator John Kerry unveiled his economic platform today, saying his plan would create 10 million jobs, cut corporate taxes by 5%, and eliminate tax breaks that make it worthwhile to export jobs. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
For 3 years running, Medicine Shop pharmacies have been rated number one by the Wilson RX Pharmacy Satisfaction Report. We're first in friendliness of pharmacists, first in on-time filling of prescriptions, and first in overall pharmacy satisfaction. When you take an active role in the health of your customers, people tend to notice. Bring in your prescription and see why we're number one. And if you're a new customer, ask about a free cold and allergy kit. Kits available while supplies last at participating Medicine Shop pharmacies. Look for our ad and TV guide.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Traffic makes us crazy.
Drive carefully.
But Darren Copeland makes the ride home just a bit easier. Keep up with the latest traffic info afternoons during the Doug Kellen Show on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
There are a lot of legitimate questions about this president, how he misled the American public on the issue of weapons of mass destruction. This is a very serious issue. We've lost hundreds of troops, as you know, over there. Let's not be laughing about not being able to find weapons of mass destruction.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:32 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have lots of stuff to give away today. And we may or may not have some comedy guests coming over. We'll see. I'll let you know. It's kind of... we can't announce it yet because we don't know if it's going to happen. And we're talking about President Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And listen to what he had to say. You just heard it in the, you know, as we came into the show. Was that tasteful? If you've got people, and if you, let me ask you this question because you know how I feel about it. If you are a supporter of President Bush and you think what he's done in Iraq is right, and you are going to vote for him again, how do you justify what he just said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Because here you've got the U.S. Army finding that its suicide rate in Iraq is higher than among any place else where its GIs are located. So you've got that going on, people coming back in body bags, transfer tubes. You have people coming back maimed in spirit or physically maimed or in body. And I think it was a terrible joke to make. Really, I think it was pretty insensitive. If I had anybody over there, I'd be furious. I'm furious, and I don't have anybody over there. 303-382-1150. George, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, the way the joke went to me is that he makes it look as though it was an inside joke all along, and now he's let everybody in on it. And it's
so are you defending it, or are you explaining it, or what? What are you doing?
I think it makes him look really bad because what he's done is they knew it was an inside joke all along. They finally let it out so everybody else could be in on it. The problem is it's at our expense and at the soldiers' expense.
Yes, it is.
And do you think this is going to stick?
Or is this
I think it could stick, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think John Kerry could make a hell of a negative ad.
Out of that one?
Oh, I bet. Somebody could do something to make that a zinger.
Well, here's what we've got going. Did anybody see Nightline last night?
I didn't see it. I don't know if anybody saw it.
Why?
Somebody. Huh?
You don't know if anybody saw it? That's a fabulous show.
You asked if anybody saw Nightline. Sure, somebody did.
Maybe somebody did. Okay. Well, George, I thank you for the call. Here's the story. Let me put some things together here. Nightline is talking about Richard Foster. Richard Foster, like Dick Clark, is a 30-year distinguished service, very solid civil servant, head actuary on Medicare. And now he's being investigated, or an investigation is underway, because he knew exactly what the Medicare reforms were going to cost. He thought in the neighborhood almost of $600 billion. The administration felt that this would be a centerpiece in a political year, and they needed it, and they twisted arms in order to get it, and they knew it would be costing what he said it would cost. But they promised their conservative Republicans, who said they would never vote for it if it cost more than $400 billion, they promised that it was $395 billion, and they threatened to fire David Foster if he gave information to Congress, which he has done for 30 years. That's part of his job. And as a civil servant, he is protected from these kinds of political pressures, one would have thought. But it came straight from the White House. He says that he would be fired if he gave Congress the information it requested. So the administration lied to Congress in order to get this thing passed. And not only did they do that, but they had a deal where they were trying to get the votes together, and they recessed for 15 minutes. Now, in very important, really, really, really severe kinds of cases, the recess could be pushed to half an hour, maybe an hour. This one went on for hours until they could round up, twist the arms of everybody they possibly could. They got one person to change his or her vote, and then everybody else started to fall into place. They even allegedly threatened somebody from Michigan, a congressman from Michigan. First, they offered to give his son $100,000 for the son's campaign because the father's about to retire. And then when it didn't sway the father to vote the right way, they promised to kill his son's chances of running. They promised to do everything they could to sabotage, to sink the son if he did run. And he complained about that publicly, the congressman from Michigan. And now there's another inquiry underway about that congressman from Michigan because he was offered essentially a bribe for his vote. So very shortly after the Medicare reforms were passed, it indeed did come out that it was going to cost $150 billion more, like somewhere in the mid-$500 billion, almost $600 billion roughly, and the administration knew this in advance. So they lied to Congress. They lied to us. They tried to bribe a congressman. They bent the rules. It was supposed to be only a 15-minute recess to gather votes. It was hours and hours. It was 4 o'clock in the morning before this thing got through, and they did everything they could. And it is backfiring on them because they thought they would have here a centerpiece in a political year, something that they could say was for the people. This wasn't for the people. This was for the pharmaceutical companies, and it was for the HMOs, and they get paid before any of the people get paid, and it guts Medicare. It effectively guts Medicare. It prevents the government from using its vast purchasing power to negotiate better drug prices on behalf of citizens. What kind of for the people is that kind of program? They're being investigated now. This two investigations going on there, these tasteless jokes, no weapons of mass destruction. David Kaye has said that the president owes everybody an apology, owes the country an apology. The only one apologizing is Dick Clark, who's laughing all the way to the bank. The book is in its fifth printing, and it's sold out in a lot of places. So if you want to go get it, let me know if Tatter Cover has copies in stock or if any of the bookstores in the area have copies in stock. So you have those kinds of things going on. And you have a lot of other, you know, a lot of other of the lies, the wanting to go to war against Iraq no matter what. All of that is starting to become more and more public, leaving more and more of a gathering storm, a gathering bad taste in people's mouths. That's what I think is happening. At least that's what it's looking like to me. Jay, in Lakewood, how are you live with Enid?
Well, I've decided to change after 50 years of voting Democrat. I'm going to go Republican. That way I can, if ever I'm investigated, I can stand up and address Congress and not have to swear on the Bible like Condi.
Well, you know what they're looking, you know where Condoleezza Rice is? She's in that same undisclosed location as Dick Cheney and Osama bin Laden. That's all I can say. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 76 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind. Cleaning up an injury accident, 20th and Market. We still have an accident popping up northbound Santa Fe, right, Louisiana. We got some stuff falling off a semi northbound I-25 at I-70, so just watch for debris in and along the mousetrap. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800, the number 2-DONATE, or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver police are still looking for the suspect in two attempted sexual assaults near the University of Denver last night. Police believe the same man attacked two women in separate incidents about 15 minutes apart. Both women were able to escape the attacks with no physical injuries. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. Letters from the University of Colorado about the allegations against the CU football program are going out to parents of students attending the university. The letter from CU's Chancellor Richard Binney says the school's athletic department will pay the costs of the investigation into the allegations. Arson has been determined as the cause of that fire at Advanced Petroleum in Johnstown on Monday. It took four fire companies to extinguish the blaze, which was reported about 7 o'clock that morning. Estimates are that about $250,000 in damage was caused by the fire. Police haven't announced any suspects yet in that blaze. Quest Choice Long Distance for Business, just 5 cents a minute with $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1241.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching! The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our southerly winds are going to be gusting as high as 30 miles an hour at times, and that has prompted a red flag warning, hazardous fire weather into this evening. It is going to be another very warm day for us with a high of 81, an overnight low tonight around 45, a chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm tomorrow, cooler with a high of 53, sunny and 54 on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 76 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1242. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Chris Alice, sounds romantic. It's the latest in lens treatments. Your plastic lenses will not scratch and are glare proof. Hi, I'm Bea Verullo, owner of International Optique. For night driving, computers, movie theaters, and more, ask for Chris Alice. The difference is bright lights and blur or clarity. You choose. When trusting International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard, you will always find the latest in lens technology and one of the largest selections of eyewear in Denver. We are so excited to be celebrating our 9th anniversary. Call to set your annual eye exam with Dr. Sogel Kelly and select that perfect new frame and lenses. Reach for any of our star frames and pay $44 when you purchase prescription lenses. And don't forget to ask for Crizal Alize. Seeing is a wonderful gift. It's time to see International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard to help select a fabulous frame and new lenses. See you soon.
AM 1150 KNRC and Desi Cortez live. Sunday mornings at 10, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Any society that doesn't look to find the truth is going to lose out. So I knew Richard Clark. He gave me a lot of advice on things about Homeland Security, and they should take his advice instead of trying to call them names. I think, look, there's plenty of criticism to go around. The real problem is not who didn't do what. The problem is people who try to cover up what happened, and that's what's happening.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:44 on the Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And that was Senator Chuck Schumer that you heard talking. And he's right. The cover-up is worse than the crime in a lot of cases, or at least as bad as the crime. And I sort of had a moment this morning when I was thinking about, the universe as we know it. Bill Clinton said that this is just our moment. The moment that the United States is so preeminent, but it's not going to last forever, and it's just going to be a blip on the time screen of life. And I could see China, I can see India finally coming into their own, and I can see us, just a former shell of our greatness, because we've gutted the country, because we've gutted the programs, there aren't jobs for people, and we start living like they were living in India and in China. And I almost can see that happening, that we are really pissing away our power, our influence, our credibility, and it's so fast. This crew comes in and they knock us out in about 3 years. 303-382-1150. Kevin, Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yes. Welcome.
Hi, this is Kevin. I write you often and call in periodically. But I think we ought to give the Bush administration credit for creating some new jobs, and I would call this new career field Dickey Blower, because it's people who are turning Dickey in for lies.
Wait a minute. Dickey Blowers is like whistleblowers?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a very specialized career against the current administration. So my suggestion is that you have either a Dickey Blower of the Day or a Dickey Blower of the Week. And I think Mr. Clark sure qualifies for this week's. But if you have it, a lot of your fans can write in what they find on the net, what they hear.
I think that's really a great idea. So Dick Clark really wins the Dickey Blower of the Week award.
Absolutely.
And who can we nominate for next week? We have to wait for next week to kick in.
Right, and I think a lot of your fans will write in and give you some good nominees.
Okay. Yeah, I like that a lot. Kevin, thank you very much. That's a great idea. And those of you who are big Bush supporters, in the face of these tasteless jokes he's making, he's lost weapons of mass destruction. And the reason he can't find them is that he's also lost his mind. And he can't find that either. A mind is a terrible thing to lose. Ed, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Ed.
Good. Hey, these people have totally hijacked this country. And I'm absolutely appalled at the way this man naively comes out with levity to excuse his ability to go over and find those weapons of mass destruction that never was there. I mean, I liken this joke to Jeffrey Dahmer. This is a guy that cut people limbs off and ate them. And just say, for instance, he decides to make a joke. Well, hey, I ate a few arms and a couple of toes, but I didn't eat any legs. Yeah, it's funny, but for him to say it, no. Now, for Jay Leno to make that same statement, it's a funny statement.
Yeah, for Jay Leno to do it would have been funny, but not for George W. Bush, because there's way too much riding there. There are people who've lost their loved ones.
Right.
And to say he can't find weapons of mass destruction shows you how insensitive he is. And I can't believe that cumulatively, if we, in the face of, and I agree with you, I think you put it very well, they have hijacked the country from us. And cumulatively, in the face of one outrage after another, if people take it, I think that we are lost.
Right, and I saw the Nightline last night as well. And I think it also, for them to hijack again the Congress to say, well, we only got $395 million, $1 billion that we promised for the Medicare package. But, however, you go ahead and vote for this, and we'll slide another $150 billion underneath you when you're not looking. These people voted for that package as well, as just like they voted for the Iraq attack.
I think that they were wimps. I think that they were spineless, a lot of those congresspeople. I could have told them that both ideas were terrible ideas, but they weren't asking me, and I don't know what the pressure is when you're inside the beltway, but I think those people are just as guilty as President Bush.
They most certainly are.
I agree with you. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm getting a lot of emails. You want to know if I've seen the Drudge Report, and I have. And here's the in front of the Democratic headquarters. There's a mat that has Bush's picture on it, and it says, "Give Bush the boot." All right, so who you want to nominate for Dickey Blower Award for next week? Have you got any ideas? And the Borowitz Report. Missed chances in hunt for Condoleezza Rice. The search for Dr. Rice lacked urgency, Dick Clark alleges, and the United States came close on several occasions to finding missing National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. but failed to do so because the Bush White House did not feel that locating Dr. Rice was a top priority, former counterterrorism chief Dick Clark alleged today. In startling testimony before Congress, Mr. Clark said that the search for the elusive Dr. Rice had been littered with missed opportunities. One time I thought I saw her scurrying down the hall and I yelled, "Wait up!" But she was gone, Clark said. From that moment on, I tried to convince the White House that finding Condoleezza Rice should be the nation's number one priority. But Mr. Clark said he got the distinct impression that the White House did not share his sense of urgency. They seemed much more interested in finding Vice President Cheney. In a vigorous rebuttal, Secretary of State Colin Powell disputed Clark's version of events, telling Congress that the administration spent 8 months devising a detailed plan to locate Condoleezza Rice. "We were planning to throw everything we had at the search for Dr. Rice, including armed predator drones and President Musharraf of Pakistan," Powell said. As for the search for Vice President Cheney, Powell was upbeat. "We believe that once we find Justice Antonin Scalia, we will also find Vice President Cheney, since the two of them are virtually inseparable." In concluding his testimony, Dick Clark stated once again that he would not accept a position in a potential Kerry administration, but would continue as host of New Year's Rockin' Eve. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. That was the Borowitz Report. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Family dinner tonight? Try great-tasting Tyson chicken breasts, nuggets, and tenders. Naturally wholesome Tyson chicken. Ready in minutes, oven, or microwave. Pick them up tonight in your grocer's freezer.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
I was at this bistro, and when the waiter brought my soup, I asked where my salad was, and he said soup doesn't come with salad. Can you believe that? I'm busy trying to sell my house, and he thinks I have the time to order salad separately?
Unlike limited services brokers, when you sell your house, Coldwell Banker handles the transaction from start to finish, making the process a lot less nerve-wracking. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
Did you know that more than 40% of U.S. troops deployed overseas as first responders are from the National Guard? They have left their families and jobs to defend our country. But what happens when they return? Cuts in federal funding have eliminated programs to help returning soldiers to continue their education. But you can help. The Colorado National Guard has established a fund to help these soldiers when they return home. Mail your tax-exempt donation to the National Guard Education Foundation, P.O. Box 40889, Aurora, Colorado, 80044. For more information, call 303-667-8387.
We call it dry talking. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the dry talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you. Thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC. Who is Jimmy Lakey?
Turn on your radio.
Turn on your radio.
Would you please turn on your radio?
Find out morning 6 till 10 exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:54 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. And have I got some news for you? Guess who's going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour live in studio? Brett Butler, the comedian, and she is going to be at Comedy Works tonight at 8 o'clock as a non-smoking show. 10 is the smoking show, and I imagine she's smoking all the way through. Saturday, 6:30 p.m. is the non-smoking show, 8:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Comedy Works, Brett Butler live with us in studio, if all goes well, in the 2 o'clock hour. And now I'm going to give away two tickets, a pair of tickets to Madstone Theaters. Premier pick series, and the film tonight is Tony Shalhoub's Made Up, starring Brooke Adams. It's at 7:30. Madstone is at Tamarack Square. I'll give you a little précis. And if you win a ticket, you get there's a wine tasting tonight that we are sponsoring. It would normally be $23, but you get $3 off, so it would be $20 if you want to do that. And that's at the theater. Made Up is a charming coming of middle-aged comedy. An aspiring cosmetologist teenager gives an elaborate makeover to her divorced mom, who's Brooke Adams. The complete aesthetic overhaul includes a tape-on, facelift, eye tucks, and a wig. Oh, where can we sign up? All the while, Elizabeth's sister Kate documents the process for her video class. Then comes the ultimate test when Elizabeth meets a fabulous new man. Is this the real or the made-up woman he is attracted to? Anyway, it's called Made Up, Tony Shalhoub film. Brooke Adams starring. It's tonight, 7:30. You have to be able to get over to the Madstone Theater. They'll be holding the tickets in will call. We're going to give away one pair of tickets. You be the which caller, Joe? Joe says be the fourth caller. 303-382-1150 is the number. If you're the fourth caller, you win a pair of tickets tonight to Madstone Theater's Made Up, starring Brooke Adams, and you get a little break on the wine tasting. And the wine tasting begins at 6:30. It's going to be led by Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits' Brenda Francis. Be the fourth caller. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150, and you will win a pair of passes. The passes are worth $15. I don't know if we have a winner or not. Do we have a winner? Oh, yeah, I think we do. We have a winner. So somebody won, and we'll find out who. Also, hang in there at 2 o'clock. Brett Butler, a wonderful comedian, is going to be joining us, and she'll be live in studio. And she's appearing at Comedy Works tonight, 8 o'clock in the non-smoking show, 10 in the smoking show. Saturday, 6:30 is non-smoking, 8:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Condoleezza Rice is agreeable. She says she will talk to the panel, but not in public and not under oath. And the panel really wants to hear from her most of all. And I wonder, it seems to me that the publicity is so negative for her that she has got to talk to them again. And it's too bad she didn't talk when there was all this, when the cameras were on them. Ashley Banfield. Well, this tells you about stardom. It's fast and furious, but here she was, a big star of cable TV, especially as we're going to, she was once a rock singer, and she's been a lot of different things. And she's kind of like, she was like Gidget Goes to Afghanistan, is I think how it really was. But anyhow, that's it for her. She's finished with MSNBC and NBC, and they can't work it out together, so that's it. I don't know who else is going to pick her up, but that's goodbye to Ashley. Winner, Marion Littleton. Mary, congratulations. You won tickets tonight to the Madstone Theater. And if you pop for $20, you can be part of the wine tasting, too. And that starts at 6:30. We're talking about Bush's weapons of mass discovery joke, drawing a lot of criticism. And in England, The Guardian is reporting about how Bush is really a fear president. And I want you to think about this, because in the middle of the Depression, the thing that Franklin Roosevelt did when we were so frightened as a country and when people were in such great despair, millions of us were in great despair. Some of us weren't born yet, but you hear stories from your parents and your grandparents and so on about how horrible it was in the Depression. What he did, and remember, he's immortalized, one of the ways in which he is immortalized, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Remember that quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt? He set about trying to pull the fear out from under us, trying to make us feel not fearful, but trying to make us feel strong. And he had many, many, many programs to do that. Here's George W. Dickey Bush, our puppet president, our boy president, not even our real president. Cheney, I think, is your real president. And what they are doing is using fear in every way they possibly can, instilling in us fear so that they can manipulate us. And the Guardian makes the observation that in countries where fear was used, like Spain, people lived in terror. The country didn't do well. It is blossoming in such a big-time way since the death of Franco, since they could finally breathe again. There are explosions of creativity in places like Spain. Spain is a fabulous country. But here, fear is used to manipulate us. And I want to talk more about that in the next hour. I also want to talk about giving fetuses rights. What do you think about that? Lots more to come. Two more hours of Enid Live right here on AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the White House. Congressional Republicans now helping the Bush administration battle allegations it was not tough enough on terrorists. In an effort to discredit Richard Clark, they are moving to declassify two-year-old testimony from the former White House counter-terror chief, who is critical of the president. Mr. Bush, for his part, says he's doing all he can to protect America.
September the 11th taught a lesson. It's an important lesson for America. We must deal with threats before they fully materialize. That's the lesson of September the 11th. You can't see what you think is a threat and hope it goes away.
The president in New Mexico today. John Kerry unveiling his economic plan, one he says will save American jobs. Kerry wants some changes in corporate tax laws. And first it was Tom and Nicole splitting up. Now it's Tom and Penelope. Actors Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruise ending their very public three-year relationship. His publicist says the stars will still be friends. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Marine.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
They taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
Tonight on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tonight at 10, 9 Central on USA Network.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind, and a couple bad accidents with injuries in the Aurora area. First in Havana, that's a motorcycle-involved accident. Westbound I-70 in Colfax. Colfax and Potomac, an accident, as well as Santa Fe northbound at Louisiana. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, details are sketchy, but numerous ambulances have raced to the Jefferson County Airport. Jeffco Sheriff's Office spokesman Jim Shire says within the past hour, there's been a report of two airplanes colliding on a runway. No other information available at this time. This report brought to you by Tyson. The hunt intensifies for a man suspected of sexual assaults near the University of Denver campus last night. Here's Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia.
I know our officers in District 3 are aware, and both officers assigned out there, I'm sure they're being alert and given the extra patrol. Also, our detectives, sex crimes detectives, are working with DU security in hopes of trying to find this person.
Police have released a sketch of the man who authorities say attacked two women in incidents separated by just a few minutes last night. They also say a man fitting a similar description followed other girls, chasing them into the Ritchie Center where the girls call the cops. The man is described as dark skinned, possibly Hispanic, clean shaven, with dark, slightly wavy hair. He's between 5 feet 8 and 6 feet tall, around 200 pounds. This afternoon, officials at DU plan to announce a reward for information leading to the suspect's capture. A federal court hearing is scheduled for today in the case of Lisa Lisa Simpson, who's suing the University of Colorado, saying that she was raped at a 2001 recruiting party for CU football players. Simpson and her lawyers today will be asking for sanctions against CU lawyers, saying that those lawyers are responsible for leaking diary entries that Simpson handed over as part of her lawsuit against the school. CU is planning to contest that motion. Enjoy today's warm temperatures while you can. That's the message from forecaster Todd Dankers with the National Weather Service.
Well, we're still expecting close to 80, maybe about 79, and then behind that, we got cooler weather moving in later tonight, and it's going to be much cooler tomorrow.
Dankers says a cold front coming from Utah will drop our temperatures into the 50s by tomorrow. As for today, he says he doubts we'll meet or beat the Metro Denver record for this date of 84 degrees set in 1971. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are on a road trip tonight, stopping in Seattle to play the Supersonics. In December, when they last played, Seattle beat Denver. Nuggets are coming off their Wednesday night win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Spring training continues in Arizona with the Colorado Rockies playing the Chicago White Sox this afternoon. That game just getting underway. Tomorrow, the Colorado Avalanche head to Detroit to play the Red Wings for the second time this week. Last night, the Wings topped the Avs 3-1. Family dinner tonight, try Tyson's ready-to-serve beef and pork roasts, pre-seasoned, hand-trimmed, slow-cooked. A great-tasting family meal in about 5 minutes in your grocer's meat case. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local. All day Saturday and Sunday, listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Ezzy Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our southerly winds are going to be gusting as high as 30 miles an hour at times, and that has prompted a red flag warning. Hazardous fire weather into this evening. It is going to be another very warm day for us with a high of 81, an overnight low tonight around 45, a chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm tomorrow, cooler with a high of 53, sunny and 54 on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
76 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. In the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by comedian Brett Butler. You remember her from, what is it, Grace Under Fire. She's going to be at Comedy Works Friday, 8 p.m., which is tonight, the non-smoking show, and then at 10 p.m., the regular show. And then tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. is the non-smoking show. 8:30 and 10:30 p.m. Are the later shows. And so she'll be joining us live in studio. We're also going to be giving away a couple more tickets to the Madstone Theater. We're going to hosting a wine tasting tonight. Your tickets will allow you into the theater for the show. If you want to do the wine tasting, you'll get a discount on that. But we're only able to have so many people into the wine tasting. We're helping to sponsor the wine tasting. And so otherwise we would have wanted to give it to you for free, but we can't. It's triangle. Well, there's a specious explanation. It's triangle wine and spirits, and I imagine everybody will be all juiced up and gassed up and spirited for the film. And the film is by Tony Shalhoub, and so we're going to be giving away some a pair of tickets a little bit later in the broadcast, and Brett Butler. And on Monday, we're going to be giving away tickets for Tommy Frank's lecture on Tuesday night at Betcher. So lots of things going on. I just got this from Matthew. Matthew sent this to me, and he says, "Dearest Enid, I love your show, so I wanted to send you some bumper stickers that I just happened to have designed. Signed, your fellow lefty, Matthew Hervey, and they are fabulous bumper stickers. I just can't believe this great stuff that's coming in. Here is a picture of Dick Cheney." This is good. And the line is, "Big time Dick." It's a, I wish I could show, I'm putting it up really close to the microphone, and look right into your radio, and then you can see it. And then here's another one. Yeah, but don't do this while you're driving. And here's another one. Here's a picture of you-know-who, the gas bag. Blushy Rushy across the way. Fleshy Rushy across the way. We're going to flush rush. And it's a picture of him in the center. And then on one side it says Oxy. And on the other side it says Moron. And then underneath it says Excrement in Broadcasting. Oxymoron. Excrement in Broadcasting. And then a picture of Dick Cheney. Big time Dick. Ooh, these are so good. Thank you, Matt. These are really good. And if anybody's interested in these, let me give you his website, because he makes these. He creates these. And his website is www.cafeshops.com/Bratty Matty. So cafeshops.com/Bratty Matty, B-R-A-T-T-Y-M-A-T-T-Y. Very good, Matt. Thank you so much. I like these a lot, and I'm putting them up on my office wall. Maybe I should put them up on a website. What do you think? We'll see. We'll see. We'll figure this one out. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the possibility, there is a movement afoot amongst Republicans who are disgusted with what the president has been doing, the way he has been lying, to throw their support to John Kerry, which I think is pretty interesting. We'll see what happens there. Republicans for Kerry. After enduring a sustained offensive from conservatives, Republican moderates are quietly mounting a counterattack against Bush delay, and so on. And here is The Guardian, and I started to talk to you about this. In the 30s, during the height of the Depression, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president, what he devoted his time and attention to was the management of fear, not the creation of it, which is what we've got with this crew, but the management of it. From the economic horror of the Depression, writes The Guardian, through the massacre of 3,000 soldiers and sailors at Pearl Harbor to the invasion at Normandy, there was a lot of potential fear. President Bush, by contrast, has chosen to manage by fear. While Americans embraced an elected leader in the 1930s who coped with the threat of chaos by altering the size and scope of government, they contrast it with Spain, which suffered a military revolt that imposed order and maintained it through fear for two generations, and how Spain did not prosper as well as we did because it was under so much fear. When the current U.S. leader declared himself a war president in the aftermath of a violent assault, Roosevelt declared war on despair in the opening sentences of his term. He said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." He said that at the start of his inaugural address in 1933. Bush, in his State of the Union address in January, used the form of the word terror more than 20 times, exceeded in frequency only by the use of the word I more than 30 times. Judging by his rhetoric so far in this election year, The Guardian, which is an English paper, reports he intends to make terror his byword. Roosevelt, at a time when virtually all Americans fell down a rung or two, but tens of millions fell off the ladder altogether in the height of the Depression, Roosevelt put America back to work, with the government as employer when necessary. Civilian government workers built dams and post office, reforested eroded land, painted murals, photographed the dust storms and the tent cities, paved roads and constructed schools, hospitals, and courthouses, all as part of public works programs designed to restore self-esteem, faith, and hope, and to keep fear under control. Things might have turned out differently for the U.S. with different leadership. In Germany and Italy, elected leaders pandered to the fear, ignited Christian fervor, intimidated political expression. In Spain, they used it as the hood ornament for tanks that crushed an elected government, then decorated the regime standard with it for two generations. But Bush has introduced a tax program to redistribute wealth upwards. He wants to unwind Social Security programs that his predecessor has introduced and worked hard to open public land for private development that Roosevelt had set aside as national forests and public preserves. So you have a contrast between a time when things were really horrible and tough, and there was a lot of fear. Nobody had to create it. Nobody had to manufacture it. Nobody had to manipulate it. President Roosevelt set about by trying to manage fear, by trying to abolish it where he could, by trying to make Americans feel stronger, by giving them work, by giving them Social Security, by giving them rural electrification, by giving them hope, not fear. But this crew, because they can't manage on strength, are pandering to weakness, and what they are pandering to and trying to create is fear. So with this group, we do have fear to fear. 303-382-1150, and this group, as you know, I mean Dickie in the White House, Big Dick, who's running it, and that would be Dick Cheney, and Puppet Boy Dick, who is pretending to be our president, our pretend president, Dickie Bush. 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phone. Zenas on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering, I'm sort of on the fence going either, I voted for Bush, but now I think you make a good argument against him. What, if Kerry gets in, are we going to be any safer? You know, how are things going to be different? If you know what I'm saying? If Bush, I'm just trying to look at the
All right, I'm good. All right, let me make a conjecture, because that's all I can do. I would guess that, the intent will change. The intent will change. And when the intent changes, the result typically will change. So if you, going back to what we know, let's talk about the people we know, whether we work with them or whether they're our friends. People who have an intent to succeed will have a better chance of succeeding. People who have a sort of subconscious fear of succeeding will tend to fail more. And I think that the intent with the Kerry administration, my guess will be to, the intent in the Kerry administration will probably be to try to disengage us from Iraq.
Okay.
And I would guess not to use fear to manipulate us, maybe restore some of the Medicare, the health to Medicare. I'm guessing that those are some of the programs. But I think it'll put us on at least, if not a hugely better footing, at least a slightly better footing. And if we don't like him, then we can fine-tune it in the next election. But these guys running it now, we're not going to have a country in 3 years or 4 years.
But at least a noticeable different path than where we're at, hopefully.
I would think so. You really are. Are you really considering running, voting for Kerry?
Yeah, I'm running for election right now.
What specifically made you change your mind?
Well, you know, there's good arguments on both sides. I listen to some of the conservative viewpoints. I listen to you and read some other stuff. You know, you can get stuff off the internet, and it's both sides are sort of against each other is so diametrically opposed that somebody's got to be lying about something. Therefore, you know, I've had to get a little bit more information. And since, you know, we're at war and everything, this vote for me in November is going to be a lot more important than
how old are you, Zenas?
Just not voting.
How old are you?
36.
You're 36, and are you typically active? I mean, it sounds like you're interested enough to keep yourself informed.
Yeah, well, because of the way things are now, you know, the fact that we're at war and everything that's at stake. The last election was more, you know, Clinton was out, and it was like there was nobody else. It seemed like everybody sucked, you know, that was available in the pool to pick from. But now the stakes are a lot higher, so.
Well, keep us posted and call us again. I hope to hear from you again.
Yeah, I'll keep listening to your side, I'll listen to the other side, and somewhere in between I'll fall in. Somewhere.
How do you pronounce your name? Did I do it right?
Zanis. Z-A-N-I-S.
Zanis.
Yeah, remember that from when I email you. I hope you can maybe send me a line back.
Thank you, Zanis.
Okay.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. Debbie in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I wanted to comment on this management of the country by fear. At the Nuremberg trials after World War II, Joseph Goebbels, who I believe was Hitler's propaganda minister, was asked, how did you do this? How did you get an entire nation behind this plan? And he said, it is easy. You need but two things. First, you instill fear. And second, you call anyone who does not agree with you unpatriotic and a traitor. And that was his definition of how you do this.
There you go. Debbie, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. Well, there's the comparison with Goebbels in World War II, Hitler's propaganda minister. What do you think about that? Does that define pretty much or describe the playbook of this administration? 303-382-1150. You know, if you are a parent or you are a good friend, and I think one of the requirements of good friendship, when you're friends, I think one of the great pleasures of good friendship is that when you're in the middle of indecisiveness, when you're questioning yourself, when you think you did the wrong thing, when you're despairing, good friends are wonderful. They're just wonderful because you can, you know, they'll let you talk and talk yourself out. And sometimes it just feels better just to have talked, even if there is not necessarily a solution. But the best friends always make you feel better about yourself. They don't keep harping on your, they don't make you feel more scared. They make you feel more strong. And think about the people that you're more attracted to as friends. They're the people that you feel better with. They're not the people who are always looking at you in a harsh and judgmental way, who are always making you feel frightened, who are always trying to down you in one way or another. They are people who make you feel stronger and better and that you're fine just as you are. That kind of a feeling. I think that's a kind of a good definition of love. You know, we've heard in the New Age, having come from New Age land, that being the state of California, the state of grace, you hear a lot about unconditional love. Well, unconditional love has, I think, is at its foundation that it accepts you as you are. You are fine as you are. But when we are frightened, we tend to frighten everybody else around us. And where does fear come from? Fear comes from a lot of insecurity. Think about that part of it. So any regime, any administration that's going to use fear to manipulate the population is itself a weak and fearful, insecure group of people who are posturing. The more macho they posture, the probably the more insecure they are. The really strong people don't have to do that. They just know they're strong. And a lot of people that you might tend to write off because they're kind of quiet and they're not blowing their own horn, as you talk to them more and more, you see reservoirs of great strength. They don't have to show off. They don't have to use fear to manipulate you. They make you feel better. They are emphasizing the positive and not the negative. But I think this play, you know, right out of Hitler's playbook, use fear, and then if people question the program, question their patriotism. 303-382-1150. I think that describes exactly what's going on here. And if you're a supporter of President Bush's, I want to hear from you. How can you support this kind of behavior? Bill in Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. What good, nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was great call by Vanis, and I wanted to answer his question a little in one area anyway about what might be different under Kerry. I think one thing that would be different is that we would fight a war on terror, A, a lot more honestly, but B, with a lot more attention paid to our civil liberties and not a carefully orchestrated plan to erode them, like we've seen, which was something that was planned long before 9/11. You wouldn't have to fear going into a bookstore and buying a book and thinking that the government might be profiling you based on what book you bought. You would be a little bit freer to have your freedom of speech. To have know that your Fourth Amendment rights would be protected. We've seen a great erosion of that with the Patriot Act, with other things that Ashcroft was advocating 30 years ago. It has nothing to do with 9/11. They were looking for an excuse to do it. You would see that rolled back. You would see just a lot more.
I wonder if they just sat back in the face of 9/11, and it did so little, and even I think I'm getting emails from a lot of you that apparently they downgraded the 9/11 threat early on, or even apparently there were questions about how the translations were going, and then they downgraded the 9/11 threats or the Al Qaeda threats even after I think 9/11. So I don't know. This is an administration that had some sort of an agenda.
Well, yeah, and I heard, you know, I grew up in Missouri, and I heard Ashcroft spouting this stuff in the 1970s.
By the way,
and a state representative.
When Ashcroft had a chance to spend more money, he wouldn't do it. He slashed. Here's the annual budget goals from Attorney General Ashcroft, dated 5/10/01. So this is before 9/11. which out of seven strategic goals that he describes, not one mentions counterterrorism. An internal draft of the Department of Justice's plan to revamp the official Department of Justice strategic plan, dated September 9th, 2 days before, describes Ashcroft's new priorities for the Department of Justice, and violent crime, drug trafficking, etc. Nothing on counterterrorism, which I think is really interesting. I thank you for the call, Bill. 303-382-1150. Steve, on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well, Steve.
Yes, I guess I just have a different perspective on a lot of things. I just moved back from Europe, and I was over there through the whole war. And
where in Europe?
I was actually in Madrid, Spain.
Oh, were you there? Were you there during the bombings?
I just left. I was living about a block and a half away from where the bomb happened. And this is my first time calling, so I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, wait. If this is your first time, we have something for you. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I guess what kind of gets me upset is that I keep on hearing the Republicans attacking the Spanish people because they voted in a new government. And what I see is that that's a true democracy when the people didn't like what the government was doing and they voted out their government. And that's the true democracy that I believe that what happens.
Well, I can't really comment on the Spanish elections, but apparently the vast majority of Spanish citizens were tremendously opposed to Spain helping out with Iraq and making any kind of a commitment, and they voted their principles, and God bless them for doing it is all I can say.
Yes, and what's interesting is that when I was there, I got to listen to a lot of people from a lot of different countries, and what they had to say is, you know, okay, America's safe, but at the same time, they've never really been bombed. So they really don't know what the tragedies of war is. Being personal, seeing people die right in front of them. And I think that's what the American people forget to look at. It looks like they look at the war like a video game. That's all they think of is a video game. And when their interest goes down, that's it.
Yeah.
But when it actually happens to the person, that's when, you know, maybe...
Yeah, and you have a bunch of chicken hawks, too, sending everybody else's kids and family members to war. And when they had the opportunity to go, they were famously busy. They had better things to do. Steve, thank you so much for calling. I hope you call us again. And welcome back to the States. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You know, our talent search for the Fab Five was no simple task, but at least financing it was. We actually covered our travel expenses using the membership rewards points we had earned on our American Express business cards.
With Open the Small Business Network, you can make big things happen when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Enrollment in the membership rewards program required. Fees and terms may vary. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Tonight on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tonight at 10, 9 Central on USA Network.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge products. During this event, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory. Profit is not a major consideration. MedVet is stocked fence to fence with a wide variety of Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Liberties, Chrysler minivans, and the all-new Chrysler 300. More arrive daily. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers, and financial officers will be on hand for immediate credit approval. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The MedVet Massive Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
people are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
I work in an office, and I listen to my favorite radio station every day.
I find out everything I need to know about what's going on.
I turn on my radio, I get all the information I need.
Whether it's Iraq or the stock market.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
It's what we're here for. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
When I tune in,
I'm really pleased.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
Silent night, I said a silent night.
Ooh, that was just wrong. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering you talk show host for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad, 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we are concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Howard and I understand that this election is not about us. It's not about a party. It's about our country, and it's about you and your future. In the end, it is Generation Dean voting for John Kerry for President of the United States that's going to send George Bush back to Crawford, Texas, where he belongs.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Yes, get that man back to Crawford, Texas. It's a town that's about the same size as his putative brain. 303-382-1150-130 is the time. It's a fabulous Friday. We're going to be joined by comedian Brett Butler in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to give away some tickets to the Madstone Theater for tonight's performance. And Condoleezza Rice, wherever she may be, in whatever undisclosed location, which laughingly refers to itself as her mind. She had a really bad hair week this week, I think, or a bad week. Anyway, here's some reporting about her. She has used her first-rate forensic and diplomatic skills, and this is from Salon.com. They are reporting to only do obfuscate, excuse, and sidestep to protect Bush and to maintain her own perfect record. In the year and a half since 9/11, Rice has compliantly served the personal obsession of the president and neocon clique running the Pentagon to rush to war to Iraq. Her unimpeded rise is especially remarkable because Rice, Condoleezza Rice's actual record as National Security Advisor has been, to say the least, spotty and controversial. Indeed, the record of her failures and cover-ups is deep and long. Arguably, one has to go back to McGeorge Bundy in the Vietnam War to find a National Security Advisor with one half as bad a record. And so now, here's what the administration is spinning. They're saying that the reason Dick Clark is taking off after her is because he has a problem with African-American women. I'm not making this up. You want to respond to this? This is what the administration is spinning. And who spun it? That little midgetly creepy, Novak on somebody's show, Bob Novak, the same guy who outed Valerie Plame. He spun it. He's saying that he thinks Dick Clark has got a problem with women and specifically African-American women. So now he's going to try to spin it in two ways, get women mad at Dick Clark and get African-Americans mad at Dick Clark. You want to respond to that? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Stephen in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm on right now, I guess.
Yeah, welcome.
Great. Well, there's another guy named Steve, so I started talking. When he started talking, I realized that wasn't me.
Oh.
Real quick, I'll respond in reverse order. Your last comment about this guy making those comments, that just sounds like sort of cheap shot. And, you know, it's very easy for people to take things a little too seriously and out of context. I mean, I didn't vote for Bush, and I don't think these guys have run things all that great, and I'm probably not going to vote to, keep them. But I will give them credit, and that is, you know, they've been very straightforward in their foreign policy, and they've been real clear about it. And it's easy to nitpick anybody about every little detail. And
have they been straightforward with the American public, Stephen?
For the
reasons for going to war, with what Medicare was going to cost, I mean, you name it. Have they been straightforward with the American public, really?
Not, not enough, really. I think the only their principle, the key thing that they try to identify as being a fundamental of what is the value for them making decisions on one side of the line or the other, has been fairly consistent. Now, how they've gone about justifying it to a lot of us, no, I think that's been pretty underhanded. And quite frankly, it's funny, I don't really suspect these guys a lot, but I get the sneaking feeling oftentimes that these guys just have an ingrained habit of just not wanting to give people, the straight discussion. They always want to spin doctor it. You're just like,
what does that tell you about somebody who, just take it on a personal level. If you had a friend or you knew somebody that you could never trust their version of anything, they were always lying to you. What does that tell you about that person?
Well, funny you should mention that, because this dovetails nicely into the comments you were talking about 10 minutes ago in terms of unconditional love. I think you want to hold people like that at arm's length. I personally...
You don't trust them? You know that they're never giving you the straight story for whatever twisted motives they have, usually fear, insecurity. They think they're so much smarter than you are that you're never going to see through their lives when their lives are usually very obvious.
I think, I've got a friend I'll regard in this same category. I deal with this guy. I know this is how he operates, but the difference is, and I can't speak for Bush and these guys, it's the way that he operates, and he's, quite frankly, not terribly cognizant and sophisticated of what his methods are. In other words, he does these things, and he thinks that he's persuading other people, and virtually everyone else looks around and laughs, going, does anyone but him buy this?
Well, that shows you that he's putting on an act and appearing to be incognizant about his lies, or he's so dumb that he thinks nobody else can see through his lies. None of those pictures are very perky pictures about somebody. So
that's
you stay away from them. You question everything they do. They're not going to be the court of first resort when you need a good opinion about something or when you want to get the facts about something. And if you extrapolate that out and you have got an administration doing exactly the same thing, you want to keep as far away from as possible from these people. You don't want them running your country. This is a country based on a lot of idealism. This was a country conceived in a lot of idealism. And they are being so highly manipulative, and they are redistributing the wealth upward. Franklin Delano Roosevelt redistributed it to downward. He made America a less fearful place for many people because jobs were provided. The government was the employer, sometimes of first resort, not only of last resort. And it's a very different method. And as a result, we became very strong. We experienced this incredible post-war boom. We felt like we were the strongest and the best, and our kids grew up the tallest and free swinging and free wheeling, and we could just hold our heads up high anywhere. You could be whatever you wanted to be in this country, was the feeling that you had. It's very different now, very, very different now, and much more suffocating and dishonest, and trying to scoop out the innards of the country and give it away wholesale to the pharmaceutical companies, to the drug companies, lying while doing it. And then what we're going to have when they are finished is a hollow shell of a country. We're going to be posturing because we're not going to be as great as we were. And countries like India and China will have taken over the mantle of greatness. That's what I think will happen. Stephen, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Hal, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Hal.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, your caller from Longmont talking about the Patriot Act. John Kerry helped write the Patriot Act. Democrats had control of the Senate. What was passed? So, here's one example of.
When have Democrats had control of the Senate recently?
Last December.
Okay.
And that's when it passed.
Well, I'm telling you, the Patriot Act, I don't care who was part of it, and we'll research who had their fingerprints all over it. I think the idea was to make the country safe, but it's a horrible act, and I want to see parts of it rescinded big time.
I know, but I'm just saying the Democrats passed it.
Yeah, and are you going to vote for George W. Bush?
No, I told you last week I was going to go vote for Ralph Nader.
Don't vote for Ralph Nader. You're throwing your vote away, Hal. You're voting for George
I'll
B. Bush.
You, Enid,
you are voting for you are voting for George W. Bush. When you vote
fool me
for
once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Don't even don't go to the polls. Your vote is going to go to George Bush.
I don't care. The Democrats.
You don't care. This country is going to go to hell faster with George Bush than it is with any other candidate.
They're both taking us down the road. Kerry voted for NAFTA. I talked to you about that. that's voter.
What about Bush lying about weapons of mass destruction, people dying
they
as a result
lied.
Of it?
Bill Clinton was one of the biggest liars we ever
but
had.
But Hal, people didn't lose their lives with Bill Clinton. I want to make that distinction to you in case you haven't noticed it lately. 303-382-1150. Also, it's being reported that Howard Stern's going to be fined, that there are fines in the pipeline, and he's going to be fined in about 3 or 4 weeks. Clear Channel, the Walmart across the way, rejecting Howard Stern's claims that he was canned for slamming President Bush, said this radio network does not have a political agenda. But new political contribution data tell a different story about the Walmart across the way. The Clear Channel executives have given $42,200 to Bush versus $1,750 to the likely Democratic nominee John Kerry. What's more, the executives in Clear Channel's Political Action Committee gave 77% of their roughly $335,000 in federal contributions to Republicans. That is a bigger share than any other entertainment company, and this is according to the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics. Just thought you'd want to know. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 77 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Denver Post. Eastbound I-70 at Dahlia have a possible DUI accident. The guy apparently ran into the middle barrier, so watch for that. First in Havana, still working, a motorcycle injury accident there. In Aurora, westbound I-70 at Colfax, an injury accident still working. And we do got an accident, Colorado and Potomac. Sunday's Daily Deal is a Safeway signature sandwich or low-carb wrap for only $2.99. Pick up Sunday's Denver Post and look on the weather page for this Monday's saving coupon. Start your day with the Daily Deal. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Details are still coming in, but Jeffco Sheriff's Office spokesman Jim Shire says there's been a report of two planes colliding on a runway at the Jefferson County Airport. Numerous ambulances were dispatched to the scene. No other information available at this time. This report brought to you by Nick and Willie's. Denver police are advising residents near the University of Denver to lock their doors. This warning follows two attempted sexual assaults in the area that happened about 15 minutes apart last night. Police believe the same man attacked two women in separate incidents. Both women escaped with no physical injuries. Omar Blair, the first African-American president of the Denver Board of Education, died yesterday at the age of 85. Blair was considered a Denver pioneer for his work in championing the education causes for children. The flag at the city and county building is flying at half staff today in honor of Blair. Tired of cold, soggy delivery pizza? Pick up a freshly made Nick and Willie's world-famous take-and-bake pizza. It comes hot from your own oven. Look for special Nick and Willie's savings in this Sunday's newspaper. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Erman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our southerly winds are going to be gusting as high as 30 miles an hour at times, and that has prompted a red flag warning, hazardous fire weather, into this evening. It is going to be another very warm day for us with a high of 81, an overnight low tonight around 45, a chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm tomorrow, cooler with a high of 53, sunny and 54 on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 77 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. The Colorado Symphony Chorus joins the Colorado Symphony for a performance of Four's Requiem, Handel's Coronation Anthem No. 1, and more on March 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Saddam Hussein and his weapons are a direct threat to this country, to our people, and to all free people.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
I know where those weapons of mass destruction are. They're residing in the same undisclosed location as George W. Dickey Bush's brain. 303-382-1150. I just got this email from Tom. Tom says, hi, Enid. You were such a welcome on the airway. I may not agree with all your topics, but now my question. Why does Bill O'Reilly say that Condoleezza Rice has already testified before the commission? She talked to them privately. She did not testify publicly, and she did not testify under oath. That's the difference. 303-382-1150. And they begged her. They really, and some of you are speculating that really it wasn't that she didn't want to face the commission, that she didn't want to face the families. But I think she didn't want to face the commission either. Andre, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm from Russia. I've been in this country since 1995. And I just wanted to give a little my perspective on it. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think, first, I would like to say that both parties, in my view, are responsible for supporting terrorists. We all know that Osama bin Laden, Mullah Omar, and those bases in Afghanistan, which America now spends money and lives on to destroy, they all were supported by the United States and financed by the United States.
Yes.
And when I was here, shortly after Putin became president, I remember, you remember when the almost 300 people died in Russia during terrorist act. Shortly after that, I'll blame American press because
Andre, tell me what your point is, because we have a lot of people on the line and we don't have.
My point is, don't blame Russia or don't blame other countries that they don't support, as you put it, war on terror, because this is something that this country uses to do something else. That's one thing. And this country is primarily responsible for terrorism, Muslim extremist terrorism.
So, in other words, we're getting back what we've been putting out.
What do you mean? Yes, wrong.
If your contention is that we are responsible for a lot of terrorism around the world, then it's coming back. The chickens are coming home to roost.
Not all terrorists. But, you know, I personally saw documentaries where Zbigniew Brzezinski was hugging Osama bin Laden, and I heard their speeches. When Rumsfeld met with some other extremists, and the speeches...
But you know what? With Osama bin Laden, actually, we helped to finance him in the war against the Russians. So, Andre, I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150. Jeff, calling from Summit County. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Jeff.
I commend you. Your stamina is great. I grew up in the Midwest, again, with all staunch Republicans, and I got to travel and experience for 15 years working natural gas pipelines, so I understand a little bit about what's going on with gas and oil. But the main thing I want to bring up is, why doesn't anybody bring up O'Neill? Why doesn't anybody bring up when Clark is being ridiculed and Clark is being discredited. O'Neill came from the same group, the same Republican.
Oh, I have. I've talked about O'Neill. And I want to, I'm glad you bring that up, Jeff, and I'm going to listen because I have some O'Neill information to share. I thank you for calling. Here's what's going on, and this is Michael Tomasky making these observations. They're saying it's been almost a week now, and the verdict is in. The usual smears and deceits are not working this time, and I'll tell you why they're not in a minute. He's talking about some of the administration's attempts to discredit Richard Clark have been comical, like Dick Cheney's assertion that Clark was out of the loop. Out of the loop, your counterterrorism czar? If Clark was out of the loop, that would only have been because Cheney and his comrades demoted this Clinton-tainted public servant as one of their early acts in office, and demoted, therefore, the whole idea of counterterrorism. I'm adding that part. But none of their smear has worked, because the more they smear him, the more he stands tall. When the administration hit back at John DiIulio, and remember he called the administration a bunch of Mayberry Machiavellians, he was a former director of faith-based programs, and then he recanted. And then former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. They went after him, but he too quickly issued a semi-recantation saying that he planned on voting for George W. Dickey in the end. But Clark has been imperturbable. As the White House has ratcheted up its attacks, Clark has ratcheted right back. And partly also, it's that the political context has changed dramatically. That's what they're saying in the last couple of years. A lot of what Clark says and writes in his book has been known. And, you know, it's a different time and place, and Clark is now about the third person to come forward to tell on what is really going on with the administration. As far as the Patriot Act was concerned, it came at a time when you could say that it was predictable that people would want to protect the country. So, but what we know about the Patriot Act, we know that it was signed into law before anybody had really had a chance to digest the contents, to read about it, and this, and there was a lot of fear attached. 303-322-1150. This is from an appearance Robert Novak on television, Crossfire, on television, CNN's Crossfire, with Rahm Emanuel. Robert Novak, congressman, he says to Rahm Emanuel, who was used to see him all over the place in the Clinton administration. Congressman, do you believe you're a sophisticated guy? Do you believe watching these hearings that Dick Clark had a problem with this African-American woman, Condoleezza Rice? Rahm Emanuel says, what? Say that again? Novak, Robert Novak, who outed Valerie Plame, Joseph Wilson's wife. Do you, undercover CIA agent, Novak says, do you believe that Dick Clark has a problem with this African-American woman, Condoleezza Rice? Rahm Emanuel, no, no. Bob, give me a break. No, no. And then from Ann Coulter, isn't that just like a liberal? Ann Coulter, you know, she is proof positive that they should have had abortion laws a lot sooner. That's all I can say. Isn't that just like a liberal? She says, the chairwoman describes Bush as a cowboy and Rumsfeld as his gunslinger, but the black chick is a dummy. Maybe even as dumb as Clarence Thomas. Perhaps someday liberals could map out the relative intelligence of various black government officials for us. That was Ann Coulter's response. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Family dinner tonight? Try great-tasting Tyson chicken breasts, nuggets, and tenders. Naturally wholesome Tyson chicken. Ready in minutes, oven, or microwave. Pick them up tonight in your grocer's freezer.
Brenda Francis here to remind you that Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits focuses on bringing you undervalued, unusual, and even collectible bottles of wine. I taste many bottles of wine each week, sometimes with the winemakers themselves. They tell their stories, express their passion, and describe what makes their wine so special. I'm as close to the source as you can get without leaving Denver. It is my goal to bring you the finest at the best prices, and I do this by tasting current vintages. Sounds like a tough job, doesn't it? Every Thursday, I send out an email newsletter with details about feature and sale wines. Every Friday, I write about wine in the Denver Daily News. My passion is to share my experiences with you. Whether you're looking for a bottle for tonight's dinner, or you're looking to expand your collection of 2,000 Bordeaux, we strive to bring you the best for the least. Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, southwest corner of 12th and Broadway, in the old Metropolitan Antiques building. Sign up for our email newsletter at GoldenTriangleWines.com. Give us a call at 303-893-8437.
Let's go forward, shall we? And your teenager is now in their 20s, so stoned they can't move, which is how they spent college and why they didn't finish and get the job they deserved or the friends. Wish you could do it over again? You can. If you know your child is smoking pot and drinking, do something. Visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800 because life doesn't rewind. Action. The Antidrug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You breathe in and out some 20,000 times a day. It's a process you never think about. But for more than 30 million Americans, each and every breath is a struggle. You can help Coloradans breathe easier by supporting the American Lung Association of Colorado at Celebrating Americana Music, featuring Dakota Blonde. The benefit concert is Friday, March 26th at 7:30 at the Rialto Theater in Loveland. Tickets are only $15 and proceeds benefit lung health programs in Northern Colorado. For tickets, call 970-962-2120.
Management at AM 1150 KNRC had been listening to the Doug Kellett Show played backwards, looking for hidden subliminal messages. Here's what they found.
John Kerry would make a great president.
Find out what he says for yourself weekdays at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Retired General Tommy Franks, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be with you.
One of the things about the Iraqi war, I guess you got to ask about those embedded reporters.
I've told a lot of people, Jimmy, that I'm the biggest fan of embedding reporters with our military. The moms and dads and relatives and loved ones of the youngsters who were serving over there were able to see what was going on every minute of every day, and so I thought it was a great thing.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And I think it's time to give away a pair of tickets, our last pair of tickets for today. And this is for the Madstone Theater. It's at 7:30. It's a showing of a film called Made Up. It's a Tony Shalhoub film starring Brooke Adams. And it's supposed to be, one of you called in to say that you'd seen it and you really liked it a lot. So it does sound really interesting. And the tickets are worth $15. You have to show up at the Madstone Theater tonight for the 7:30 screening. If you want to come to the wine tasting, which starts at 6:30, you'll get a break on the price. It'll cost you $20 instead of $23 because we can only get so many people in. And that's the wine tasting. It'll be led by Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits' Brenda Francis. And Madstone is at Tamarack Square. And why don't you be the third caller? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Two free tickets at Will Call tonight for Made Up, which is a Tony Shalhoub film. It's supposed to be a very charming comedy. Be the third caller, and you will win this pair of tickets for tonight at the 7:30 showing. You have to be able to get there for the 7:30 showing. And we have a winner. You will win, you'll be able to go. And if you want to go to the wine tasting at 6:30, you'll get a break on the price. So show up at 6:30 and be prepared to pay $20 for the wine tasting. And then you can watch the film all gassed up. it'll be a very great film as a result. We're talking about a lot of things today, primarily about Bush, but also a big front page story as well. Is that the Senate passes a bill that gives fetuses the rights as separate victims in certain crimes. A lot of people feel that that's another way to undermine abortion. So the Senate voted yesterday to make it a separate crime to harm a fetus during commission of a violent federal crime, a victory for those seeking to expand the legal rights of the unborn. You know, you can't... I know that the Lacey Peterson killing has been used as a sort of poster for this kind of legislation, but I think it's a really horrible idea. 303-382-1150, the winner of the pair of tickets tonight to the Madstone Theater, 7:30 showing, is Alan from Denver. So, Alan from Denver, congratulations. I am so thrilled that Colorado has become a swing state, and many states are looking like swing states in the next election, because in the most recent polling that I have seen, it looks like Bush and Kerry are neck and neck in Colorado. And then you have, by the way, Novak talking on Crossfire, trying to paint Dick Clark. This is the White House. They'll stop at nothing. Trying to paint Dick Clark as being anti-African-American and anti-African-American woman. And that's why he's going after Condoleezza Rice, who, if you look at her history, according to one reporter, she's not had a really good history. She's had a lot of failures, probably more so than and the other national security advisor. 303-382-1150. And then one of you sent me this. Department of Justice asked an FBI translator to change pre-9/11 intercepts. So that's being looked into, that the FBI doesn't have enough translators, and those that do haven't really satisfactorily been cleared in terms of security, and yet they're translating really sensitive documents. So that was first reported a few months ago, and now it's back in the news again. We hadn't really had a chance to get to that. But again, Bush and Kerry are tied in the polls here, and there was a huge ad in today's New York Times about the levels of mercury and how mercury is so horrible for you, and how the administration wants to raise what is allowable in terms of mercury. So, you know, clean air, clean water, these are just all nice, perky little names, nice little perky public relations outreaches, another way to manipulate you, making you think that maybe you would have clean air, clean water, maybe there would be weapons of mass destruction, maybe the tax cuts are for middle Americans and the working poor, not just an upward redistribution of wealth to the wealthiest, to the people already wealthy. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. It is a fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, and you can always participate by calling 303-382-1150.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. Republicans in Congress say they want to see if former anti-terrorism advisor Richard Clark is a liar. They're trying to declassify testimony he gave 2 years ago. Clark's been critical of President Bush's policy. The president himself says he's dealing with the terrorists.
You can't see what you think is a threat and hope it goes away. You used to could when the oceans protected us. But the lesson of September the 11th is when a president sees a threat, we must deal with it before it comes to fruition.
The president says Saddam Hussein was a case in point. The White House calls John Kerry's new economic proposal a shell game, but he says it'll create 10 million new jobs, and he says, unlike the president, he'll keep his promise. Kerry wants to change the corporate tax laws. It may be weeks before things are back to normal on usually busy I-95 in Bridgeport, Connecticut. A tanker truck blew up, damaging an overpass and snarling traffic there for miles. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house, that's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Tonight on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tonight at 10, 9 Central on USA Network.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 77 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW, cleaning up an accident westbound I-70 at Colfax. Still working an injury accident involving a motorcycle, First and University. Expect delays there. Eastbound I-70 right around Dahlia. We have a guy who was drinking too much, drove into the middle barrier, so watch for that. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, a couple of planes ran into each other at the Jeffco Airport early this afternoon. Airport spokeswoman Catherine Behan says it was just a minor mishap.
It was really minor. It was more like a fender bender. There was a plane, a small Cessna, sitting waiting to take off. Another plane came down the runway and was turning around and and ran into the stationary plane.
There were no injuries reported in that accident. This report brought to you by JCPenney. Following two attempted sexual assaults at the University of Denver neighborhood last night, Denver police are urging people to keep doors and windows locked.
People have a tendency to leave the windows open, and I know it gets hot, but please don't leave your windows open at night or have your curtains drawn. Don't have your doors locked even though you may be home. Always have your doors locked.
Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia, who says the detectives from the DPD Sex Crimes Unit are working with DU Security to find a man who they say attacked two women in separate incidents only about 15 minutes apart last night. Both women were able to escape without physical injuries. The suspect is described as dark-skinned, possibly Hispanic, clean-shaven with dark, slightly wavy hair. He's between 5 feet 8 and 6 feet tall and around 200 pounds. There'll be some excitement for about 2 seconds tomorrow morning in the area around I-25 and I-225 interchange, as T-Rex crews will be imploding two old bridges. Karen Morales, spokeswoman for T-Rex, says starting tonight at 10, the southbound I-225 to southbound I-25 ramp and tunnel will be closed until early Monday morning.
The reason for this is because that's exactly where the rubble will fall from these two structures being demolished. So we'll need some time to get in there and clear all of that out before we can reopen traffic.
The dual implosion is scheduled for 7:15 tomorrow morning and it'll be televised. But Morales says don't blink because it really will only take a couple of seconds. A decision from the EPA means gas prices could go up even higher this summer. The Environmental Protection Agency says that to reduce ozone in Denver's air, it's requiring all gas to be less volatile, meaning it will evaporate more slowly, cutting down on ozone, a big component in Denver's infamous brown cloud, that new requirement going into effect on June 1st. In sports, the Denver Nuggets play the Seattle Supersonics tonight in Seattle. Supersonics beat the Nuggets when they last met in December. On Wednesday, the Nuggets beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. The JCPenney huge sale. Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale, no exceptions. Plus great doorbusters and an additional 10% off sale prices Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. JCPenney. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local. All day Saturday and Sunday, listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company, March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our southerly winds are going to be gusting as high as 30 miles an hour at times, and that has prompted a red flag warning. Hazardous fire weather into this evening. It is going to be another very warm day for us with a high of 81, an overnight low tonight around 45, a chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm tomorrow, cooler with a high of 53, sunny and 54 on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 78 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and live with us in studio is one of our favorites, Brett Butler, the comedian, the actress. You can meet her tonight at Comedy Works. The non-smoking show is at 8 o'clock tonight. The regulars, and then all the shows are smoking.
My voice is, they're going to sit back. I'm going to
I'm going to ask if they'll be nice and try to refrain.
You
get your
do...
nicotine patches.
Well, you know, I think...
And they can't meet me.
I
That's
think
out of the question.
They can't?
No, I'm just teasing.
You could do it with that voice.
I just say hi.
You can read 900 lines
I
everywhere.
Sound like I gobbled up Brenda Vaccaro. It's like she's actually living inside me.
And tomorrow night, the non-smoking show, and all of your shows are smoking, even when they're non-smoking, is at 6:30, 8:30 tomorrow night, and 10:30.
No, I don't do 10:30 on Saturday.
You don't?
Nope, I just do two.
You only doing two? They told us. Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Uh-oh, okay.
Unless there's some big surprise I don't know about. Nope.
I have to
do the early shows because my audience has to go home and watch Matlock on DVD.
Do their lips move at the same time?
Oh, no, well, if it's closed caption, they do.
Talk to me about your life. Does anybody grow up wanting to be a comedian?
Or oh, yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Doing stand-up? How did this happen for you? Did you always know this, that you were very funny and people laughed?
No, I wanted to be one before I was funny. I told my mother that I wanted to be a comedy when I was five. And
she said you're already a joke.
When I did. No, she was great. She's now. I did a George Carlin part of his act when I was eight at a Christmas pageant. I was, needless to say, the only one doing I'll Sleep the Hippie Dippy Weatherman at All Good Elementary School in Marietta, Georgia. And I just thought it was so funny, and they weren't getting it, which is, I don't think anybody does what I do without being broken down the middle. You have to have, like, a really big ego, and I think in low self-esteem, because
lethal combination. You could either be a president or do stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I love Bill Clinton. I was looking at his picture today with Carter and Kerry, and Kerry's got a long way to climb up to me. See, I'm one of these people that unabashedly loves Bill Clinton. Like, I do. You know what he did wrong
Why
to me?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's just a hunk of burning love. I mean, they're all snakes, but damn it, he's hot. You know what? He should have nailed that girl against the door like Sonny Corleone in The Godfather. You know, I got your Department of the Interior. I mean, none of that namby-pamby. I didn't have relationships with this, you know, little teenage intern. And he needs one of those bony, good-looking 40-year-old women that wear, like, $60 stockings. Not pantyhose or Gap dresses either. I mean, with the door open, who's going to say anything? You know, that stuff. You know John Ashcroft does that.
You think he does?
I think he plays train conductor and little blind girl on a regular basis.
He plays what?
Train conductor and little blind girl with, like, Margaret Tutwiler or something. Isn't he the one that covered up that exposed breast on the Statue of Justice?
Yes,
he did. There are some deep-seated things there. That's almost like going out there and making The Passion or something.
Well, don't you think it's odd? Don't you think that illness is metaphor, that a man who has an excess of gall has his gallbladder removed?
His gallstones rejected him. I mean, how bad does it have to get? I read his interview, and I think it was Atlantic Monthly, and I was so proud of myself because I'm reading the interview going, I'm reading an account that's not in The Nation about John Ashcroft. I'm trying to be balanced. See, I can't tell who people vote for when they're laughing. I see to that. It's not my business. It's not my business to confront or do anything but entertain. That's how I feel. And that really happened after September 11th when I saw my colleagues on both sides of the political spectrum become pedantic and humorless. I'm like, wait a minute. I have a very radical job. I'm like a chick that gets paid, and I'm fundamentally uneducated in a formal sense. I'm a bootstrap autodidact. I say what I think, and I'm funny, and that's what I bring to it. A pretty Tory military historian. I love his writing so much. Sometimes I forget what he's writing about because he writes so well. He's so British.
Who does your material for your act? You do it?
I write it all.
It all?
Oh, yeah. It's busy up here. Sometimes at night my boyfriend wakes up and goes, turn it off. I can hear it in your brain ticking all the way over here. Yeah.
And I... maybe the joke was on me, but when I was living in the Bay Area, I was reading Variety, and somebody who had worked on... Oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, my guest is Brett Butler. You can meet her tonight at Comedy Works. The non-smoking show is at 8, and then there's a 10 o'clock show tonight. And tomorrow night, the 6:30 non-smoking show, and then an 8:30 show. So two shows tonight, shows tomorrow night.
Can I say also, the guy on the show with me, my feature act, is a guy named Roger Rittenhouse, Denver's own... And I'm not just saying he's funny, you know, because usually I don't care about whoever's on in front of me. Roger's so funny, I watch every one of his shows. He makes me laugh as hard as anyone in 23 years of doing this. And I'm not just saying it.
Well, here's what I was going to say. I used to fly down to Los Angeles once a week to take a comedy writing class because Woody Allen said, this was Doc Simon's brother, and I forget what his first name was, but he's teaching a comedy writing class at UCLA. And so I would get a plane once a week take the class and come back. It wasn't very funny. And right. the joke was essentially on me, and I didn't last too long. But what I learned from that is how hard it is to get just a few minutes of really funny material. You have to distill it down. You have to distill down a lot of stuff to get just a few minutes that's really good.
It takes a long time to transfer the funny that you are to the funny that goes on stage. Like, I have four younger sisters. One of them is smarter than I am. The other one's probably funnier. But I just kept cramming it in this one very specific avenue. And then eventually it forked some where, you know, when I wrote my book or I did the show or something like that. But now I
What was
back,
the avenue that you kept cramming the material
stand-up.
Into?
Stand-up. Very specifically, stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy, but mm-hmm. any particular... If I were to ask you what you were the captain of, what would you tell me? The captain of what is the thing that you do best and differently from most comedians? Is it the quality of your observations, or that the observations are in a particular area?
Different is that I'm me, so we're all really different. And if you're really good at being different and you're really unique, what you're good at in that is letting other people feel what we all have in common. I hate being this in California, but I'm really a mystic. I'm a sticky-fingered, surly toddler mystic. And I have kicked and screamed for 46 years on the path of that and wanting to figure things out and having a 20/20 vision when it comes to seeing how far I fall short of this mystical adherence to this fine, unparalleled life, you know. So if I can't find humor in the differences and where I fall short, I'll end up doing something like a movie like The Passion, The Jesus Chainsaw Massacre, you know. I bought the soundtrack and all it is no, Dad, stop! That's terrible, isn't it? People listen to that. Kids in the booth are going, oh, my God.
Well, Frank Rich said it was homoerotic. He said there's even a money shot. And a pounding drum. My guest is Brett Butler. All right, now, you go to high school. What happens after that? It's very tough to do comedy, and it's even tougher if you're a woman doing comedy.
Well,
so
you know,
how did you find your way?
How do I know that? I'm a woman. I have no idea.
Because there are very few of them do it.
You know what? That many aren't that fun either.
Well, maybe inadvertently.
Statistically, they're not. It is hard. I'll tell you how crazy comedy is. I'm considered well-adjusted in ranks. I've never seen more surly, self-involved, pitiable, emotionally crippled people in my life. It's my club. That's my job. That's what I do, stand-up. And it's essentially really lonely and uncertain. Like I just saw one of the funniest, Dan Natterman, the funniest kid I've seen in ages. One of these like once in a lifetime funny. And I go up to him and I realize he's cracked right down the middle. I mean, he's all the way to his boots, he's cracked. And that's what we have in common. I'll see people who are really glib or people who are really pretty or people who can do X or X or X. You know, there's something different. Like there are comedians that get followed around that I just don't get. And they probably
I go to a lot of comedy shows, and I don't think it's funny. I don't think the material's that good, and it's always an F-bomb this, F-bomb that,
yeah.
F-ing this, F-ing that, and that's everybody laughs at that line, and that's not funny. I'm
plenty profane, but I'm spontaneous and literate, too, so, you know.
Well, we don't care about the profanity if there's some comedy that joins with it. But if it's just the F-bomb and there's nothing funny about it, that'll often get a laugh and there's nothing
bad. There's a mean-spiritedness to comedy that I fall in and out of in my life. Like, you know, it's not right to hate, yet I do it. It's hard for me to walk through the airport and I'll see, like, you know, the current regime and I make this face, which nobody needs to see me make. I go into rooms with all the corporate white guys, like the Delta Crown Room and stuff, and like, you know, oh, hello, I'm your female, you know, interloper. I'm the one without a degree or a briefcase. I'm the one that hates your little braided tassels on your little tiny brown leather shoes, Buster.
And I'm the one without a negligee.
Oh, no, I have negligees.
You
I'm
do?
Southern. Oh, God, yeah. I have my little cotton pants I wear and my little tank tops, and I have negligees. I've stopped short of animal prints because that's just white trash.
Well, appearing here on this satin chaise, talking to you via the white French telephone, Brett Butler, who's appearing at Comedy Works.
Now, that's funny. See?
Is that funny?
Just,
only inadvertently.
You have a real visual to do radio. You have a real visual cue there.
Oh, well, maybe I'll come up and join you doing stand-up. I did try it once. I was terrible. I mean, I couldn't get – you have to have a lot of material. I can't not do it.
I was waiting tables when I was 26.
All right, now, wait a minute. You graduate 24. From – you go to high school.
Yeah.
And then what happens to you in high – you graduate. Do you go to college at all or no?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, for a year, I made amazing grades in a couple of classes and never went to the rest of them. And I took some four-level courses. Being smart was never my problem. It was going to school and not being bored. And now that I'm older and I can kind of see the history of my my sister has names for everything. One of my sisters, you're so ADD. No, I'm not. I really wasn't utilized and I was bored. They didn't have any kind of classes that were good for a strange breed like me. I've got a niece who's four. And she's, I tell my sister, the rest of them are going to college. She's going to go to rehab and then she's going to be a star. She's an amazing little girl. She said to her mother, Mommy, why do I have so many feelings? And she's not like the spoiled kid. We don't really get choices about how we are. The only choices we get are like how we can cleave to some comfort. You know, and I told my sister, I didn't feel good till I took a drink, and then I didn't feel good till I quit. And she knows, she knows how much we're alive.
When did you start drinking?
Oh, probably when I was like 14. Or
14.
Yeah, but I remember the distinct feeling that it gave me. And I do want to say this about addiction and sobriety and whatever. I really cannot stand glistening-eyed celebrity survivor stories. I think they're treacly and gross. I have a problem that seems to be in remission almost 6 years. You know, I work at it that's shared by a lot of people. It's just when I fall down and go boom, a lot of people hear it. That's all. And
some celebrities claim to have a problem when they don't in order to get more sympathy.
I don't know that.
Actually,
that's
there
true.
Was a story about that a few years ago. No.
If you do that, then you have another problem. Okay? See, never. It's not ever up to me to say about somebody else. I will say this about Courtney Love, though. Do you know how screwed up you have to be for me to tell her to get her crap together? I was like, Courtney, if Brett Butler's telling you to get a grip. No. I try to be real careful about what I say about other people. I do notice things getting more and more vicious. Just in general, about people's personal lives. People watch reality shows where the cornerstone of the show is just a viciousness that exhibits itself in entirely non-spiritual ways. And what I'm talking about is not religion. It's not that John Gray crap either, you know, or Dr. Phil's kind of, you know, military drill sergeant, new age, boo-hoo, wannabe, you know, that kind of thing either. We all know what's decent. And I think you can be edgy and decent.
How did you turn the corner? How did you go into sobriety?
I consider this a gift from the universe. I had a real clear vision of my sisters explaining to my nieces and nephews why Aunt Brett died. And it really was cataclysmic for me. They adore me. And I love them. And I don't have children of my own. When I'm around them, I'm just so puzzled at our connection. It's so sublime. And I think it's one of the best things in my life. That's why we got like a horse farm near home. My niece, who's four, can't say her F's or V's very well yet. She's like a really verbal, brilliant little girl. She says, you know, Aunt Brett, you can't live that far from me forever. It was like a little angel. It's like, oh my God, you're right. You're going to be, you know, big soon.
You were starring in Grace Under Fire.
I did 112 of them, and I remember about 86.
And you were able to work, even though you were drinking.
Oh, of course. I wasn't drinking. I was taking drugs.
You were taking drugs? What were you taking?
I don't want to get into a bunch of... You know what? It's nobody's business. And also, if there's anybody that needs this, I don't want anybody doing that comparative sobriety thing. Like, well, I'm not that bad. Or I'm not this, or I'm not that. I didn't do, like, crack or needles. I was just a garbage can, you know.
And you were able to do the work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's doing a sitcom. Come on. It's not like I was carving in people's heads or anything, bro. I wasn't
well,
tree panning.
You were in a different way.
No, I wasn't.
You were getting into their heads in a different way.
Just
and then what happened?
Just television.
And then wasn't there some? What happened to the series? What happened?
I got fired. I went up to my bosses every day and said, I mean, this is really old news that I don't feel like edified or edifying by discussing it. I don't avoid it. I've discussed it at length. You know, it happened 6 years ago, and right. I'm sort of moving on. Yeah.
But did you go back to the series, or that was it?
No.
Was that when they fired you?
Yeah.
Was there anything good that came out of that?
Yeah.
The sobriety?
Yeah. Yeah, I had that, and, I mean,
how
damn,
did you,
it paid
how did
me.
You,
it paid, I'm in syndication.
Yeah, how did you get that job?
They just came and found me.
You were performing where?
In New York.
So you had been waiting tables earlier on.
I've been a Canadian 11 years before they found me.
Yeah, but you were waiting tables, and then how do you finally make that jump from waiting tables
really
to
hard.
Me?
I worked really hard and believed in myself. I had blinders on. I had an astonishing clear vision that I was going to be really good at stand-up comedy, and I worked real hard. My first 2 years of comedy, I did 500 shows a year, most of them unpaid. I'd literally go up to clubs, places where there were bands, and I'd go, hey, my name's Brett, and I'm doing comedy at the Comedy Workshop, and I want to know if I can go on between your sets. And these musicians would go, well, yeah, you can use the mic on the drum set. Don't touch crap. I would go up and without even an introduction, and I was like this, like good-looking 24-year-old with cowboy boots and tall girl and, down in Houston, Texas, and I'd grab the mic and go, hey, looking back, I think that's so cute that I did that. I mean, what balls I had.
Yeah, really.
And then I drove to New York after 2 years of doing it, a year in Houston, a year in Atlanta. I worked with Robert Klein, and he goes, you've got to go to New York. I said, not L.A. He goes, no, you'll be too provincial. You have to go to New York and make your bones. And I did it. And I was.
How did you support yourself during this time?
I did comedy. I had one job in New York. I got a job selling baby furniture, and I quit in an hour. And I just busted my butt. I actually didn't have a day job except for that one afternoon in New York when I'd done comedy 6 months. I started when I was 24 in 82, and there weren't very many women doing it, and there wasn't anybody like me. And I really don't think there ever has been. And that's not bragging. That's just how it is. And I would go, hi, I'm Brett, and I've got a car, and I'll pick up other comics, and I introduced myself, and I busted butt, and I did it.
And you didn't have anybody representing you, you just did it on your own?
Oh, no, I didn't have an agent when I got my sitcom.
You did not have an agent when you got your sitcom?
Mm-mm.
How did the executives know to find, were they out looking, and they found you? Or?
No, I actually stumbled in a club one night, and the guy says, they're looking at women from these people out in L.A., and I go, whatever, it was during the election year, it was 92, and I said, can I go on? I have some stuff to do. I was real political then, and specifically political. And you should be when you're young. You should be out loud political. And if you're political later, you better remember the jokes first and the politics second. There's enough people looking real serious for Doctors Without Borders and, dangling chads and crap. That's beautiful. Good. Mm-hmm. And Michael Moore should have just stopped before the whole Charlton Heston thing started. I love him, but what was he doing? Is there no one there in his life to tap him on the shoulder and go back off?
Well, he thought he was too harsh on Charlton.
Oh, it was
a man who's been sitting with a chicken sitting on top of his head for a lot of years now, pretending to be a toupee.
Well, that's petty. I mean, I don't mind. It's Charlton Heston. He's Moses. He's an old guy. He doesn't want to be bald. I mean, I had a facelift. I had a facelift. I used to have fake tits, but I took them out. It doesn't matter. It's just some old man that's addled by illness, and if you approach him at an improper time, that's not good karmically. And I love Michael Moore. He's an important guy. He's one of the most European Americans we have, and by that sense, I mean, he has his eye on a very big picture, so for him to do something little,
Michael Moore is complicated. There's a good side to Michael Moore, and I love his. I do love his work, and
he
I love the notice that
yeah.
he's had. And then there's another part of Michael Moore too that is, and we can talk about that. My guest, Brett
that's
Butler.
Catholic stuff, though. What's with him?
With him? No, there's a level too. There was a good profile of him in the New Yorker. Did you see that recently?
No,
Oh, it was really interesting.
Oh, you know what I did?
And not as flattering as it could have been.
You know what I did? And. Yeah, who was it that they did? And they did flatter immensely recently. They didn't stick any holes in. I can't remember. Well, I didn't read the end of it. I think because it was so flattering, I didn't read the end of that Michael Moore one. I'll be darned.
In the New Yorker?
You know what? He was.
No, terrific. It wasn't that flattering.
He was terrific to me at a time when I don't think I lost any friends, but I might have lost count of how many. I might have miscounted to start with. And he was real supportive of me, like, out of the blue, just sent me this note going, it's going to be all right.
Did he?
Yeah. Right when I got back.
Did you know him?
Okay. Yeah.
You
did just met him. Nothing. The affair was long over. No, Jesus. No, don't say that.
Don't say that. No. My guest is Brett Butler. Yeah. She's going to be appearing at Comedy Works tonight, 8 o'clock, and the 10 o'clock show tomorrow night, 6:30 show and 8:30 show. You might have questions for her. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place November 5th, 2003.
On-site emergency. This is Bernard.
We have a fire in my house.
I'm going to contact the fire department. Just remain on the line.
County emergency.
This is Bernard with OnStar. I have a subscriber who's reporting their home is on fire. It's at 15.
No matter what your emergency, an OnStar advisor is always available to call for help.
Do we have emergency personnel on the line?
Okay, the fire department's been dispatched. Is everybody out of the house?
Yes.
Are you guys all in the car right now?
Yes.
Okay, you just got to try and stay calm, okay? They're going to be there soon.
I'm going to stay here on the line with you until the fire department gets here, okay?
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com.
It'll be all right. It'll be okay. They're here, okay?
Ma'am, you did say that the fire department's there now?
Yes, they're there. Thank
no,
you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank
welcome.
You.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series asks, should schools teach students about homosexuality? The Colorado legislature is considering a bill requiring parents to give written consent before their kids take sex ed. Some legislators want to eliminate all discussion of homosexuality in schools, while others say parents should know exactly what their kids are learning. Does the discussion of homosexuality have a place in the classroom? Does ignoring the issue demonize homosexual relationships and send gay teenagers into isolation and possible depression? What do you think? Debate this issue and more on Colorado State of Mind, Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Don't miss Colorado State of Mind, Friday nights at 8:30 only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer's supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chevrolet products. Acres and acres of Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Impalas, and the all-new Colorado pickups are on sale at liquidation prices. Discounts are as high as $13,000 on select vehicles. During this event, profit is not a major consideration. This incredible sale is at two and only two locations, the MedVet Autoplex in Wheat Ridge and the MedVet Autoplex in Castle Rock. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The massive MedVet markdown sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
KNRC invites you to exclusive premieres and fantastic performances at the Vail Film Festival, April 1st through the 4th. Join us for a weekend full of informative workshops, celebrity panel discussions, and event parties, along with great skiing in the beautiful Vail Valley. The Vail Film Festival is sure to sell out. Reserve your seats by visiting vailfilmfestival.org. Screening passes start at just $50. The Vail Film Festival is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. Wall Street ended the week largely unchanged from yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 6 points at the close at 10,213, with the Nasdaq falling by 7 points to 1960. Jurors in the Tyco trial were sent home for the weekend today after a very contentious day in the courthouse. After telling the judge that their deliberations were, quote, irreparably compromised, one juror reportedly flashed the OK sign to the defense team. We'll find out Monday whether they will try and continue deliberating the fate of former Tyco executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz. We're told there is not an agreement issue. They just don't like each other, we are told. We'll find out whether a mistrial is declared on Monday. EchoStar Communications reported a fourth quarter profit of $3 million today, compared to a loss of $700 million last year. The company just added new subscribers to its Dish Network satellite TV service at a faster-than-expected pace. The Dow down 5 points today, the Nasdaq down 7. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well, and of course Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The
the open network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
For 3 years running, Medicine Shop pharmacies have been rated number one by the Wilson RX Pharmacy Satisfaction Report. We're first in friendliness of pharmacists, first in on-time filling of prescriptions, and first in overall pharmacy satisfaction. When you take an active role in the health of your customers, people tend to notice. Bring in your prescription and see why we're number one. And if you're a new customer, ask about a free cold and allergy kit. Kits available while supplies last at participating Medicine Shop pharmacies. Look for our ad and TV guide.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:34 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me, live in studio, comedian and actress Brett Butler. Comedian, actress, comma, and thinker, Brett
lover,
Butler.
Lover.
And lover. In her negligee appearing here.
My peignoir.
In her peignoir. Some people are in the pen, and some people are in the peignoir, and sometimes we don't know which is which. And she's going to be appearing at Comedy Works tonight, 8 o'clock, which is the non-smoking show, and the 10 o'clock show. And tomorrow, 6:30, which is the non-smoking show, and at 8:30 p.m. And we're talking about a lot of different things. And let's talk about Ann Coulter. Let's name names, Brett.
Well, I just, like I said,
let's
I got
about
to say,
her.
When
she's
I
horrible.
When I think about or respond to Ann Coulter, it's impossible. It's very difficult not to become the enemy. Like, I hate bigots so much, I am one. Well, that's the trouble with me and Ann Coulter. She just brings up a lot of feelings that I find anything but constructive. I think she's like something that will eventually lance itself.
Well, and not a moment too soon,
yeah,
either.
Yeah, I mean, she's just because she doesn't agree with me is not part of, you know, what I have a problem with.
You called her contagious, like a virus.
Well, it is. She brings on that thing, and there are a lot of people out there who, I have a friend, do you know Carolyn Mace?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a friend of mine, and she would call that, I like her, talk about a surly mystic from Chicago, right? Carolyn did not ask to be any kind of intuitive or anything. She almost has a disregard for any kind of, like, metaphysical gifts. So they're sitting there at her conferences with their crystals and their BMWs and their beige outfits going, enlighten me, that kind of crap. People respond to things like we cleave to that. The spineless among us will cleave to that. Or there's another way of spinelessness, which is cleaving to hatred. And that's what she spews forth. It gives content to our fears. Like, I don't have this nameless foreboding when those planes hit those buildings and shook us up. It shook me up so bad, I couldn't even think, hey, we've been lucky for a long time not to have any crap like that happen. And now, even Clark blaming Bush or something, and I am no lover of this president. I went, that's ridiculous. How can you hear everything? It would be like if I read all the letters that come into my website and believed each of them individually.
Yeah, but he was getting daily briefings.
So was Clinton, apparently. I don't want to hold this. There's a lot of things I think Bush has been egregious and neglectful.
What do you think? And what do you think is going to happen in this political season? Who's going to win?
And fascist, because who's going to hear me say that? I don't know. I think Ashcroft,
I think this group has been rapacious. They have been dishonest.
Oh, yeah.
Redistributing wealth upward to the already rich.
Right.
Trying to gut the country.
You know, there's
social, the Medicare
that would
deal.
Benefit me greatly if I continued to do this. I had to tell the guy that does my bonds when I sat down with him. I go, listen, you can never put any of this money in certain things. And his eyes got all big. I go, defense. He goes, but. And I go, no, if you don't hear me, I'll go to another fascist institution.
you don't want to invest in
little things I can do. No, I care about defense, but I don't mean like to the point of, you know, we're exerting ourselves radioactively. We have been using parts of nuclear things for some time now.
Yes, and bullets too. Spent uranium.
Exactly, and they're
depleted uranium.
There are people dying on quote our side that are still having it. You know.
Well, 15 miles up the road is Rocky Flat.
Yeah, I know.
Where the plutonium there has a half life of merely 24,000 years.
Yeah, and see.
Don't drink. Don't
sissies worrying about a bunch of buried plutonium outside of Denver. Hell. You know,
don't breathe the air while you're here.
It's amazing.
What
and they're making 500 nuclear weapons a year for the next several years in America because we've committed to it.
Yes, but we haven't provided body armor for the people, for the soldiers in Iraq. They're having to buy their own. They're getting, like, used car dealerships in their hometown.
And their families are on welfare back here.
To pay for the body armor, which maybe it has a logo on it, brought to you by Smith Hardware or something. Who knows?
Exactly. Wasn't it my friend Bill Hicks, God rest his soul, said this very funny comedian about the Gulf War, and I used to love it. He goes, I don't support the troops, but I support the war. I mean, because it's just so, of course I love them. I go to the airport and I see these babies there.
If you support the war, how can you put them in harm's way?
It's a joke.
I know,
of course I don't. And I'm
but you know
gonna...
who is supporting? You know who has been supporting the troops when they have these signs up? It's real easy to be a bumper sticker patriot and put a flag in your lapel like W.
Oh,
who had the chance to go to Vietnam, famously had more important things to do. But I don't call him W. I call him Dickie.
Paul Fussell has a book called Class, and one of the lines, he wrote it 30 years ago, that I love. It said, people who wear American flags in their lapels are clearly insane. And when I see the president wearing an American flag lapel, you want to go, hey, who do you think they're going to think you support when they meet? I'm the president. If you look down and see the flag, does that remind you who you're the president of? I was like, is your belt buckle on upside down so you can see your first name when you look down? I just think it's so.
But you know who has supported the troops? Sears, Penny's. They're giving them their paying the difference in their salaries, giving them health benefits.
That's fantastic.
So if you have a chance to buy something at Sears or a chance to buy something at Penny's, it's a good thing to do.
I buy all my stuff at Sears. I just
do. You buy all your clothes at Sears?
Not clothes. Come on. Washers and dryers and all that.
Don't
good
laugh.
Stuff
they got some nice things there.
The Cheryl Tiggs collection.
Yeah. What galvanizes a comedian? What really gets you going so that you can start writing?
Love and outrage.
Outrage more than love?
Love and outrage.
Put together?
Yeah.
Where does love where does love end in a funny joke?
Love's all through it. Really, before I go on, I say this thing, I look up, I go, God, get me out of the way. Do something really good. If I start thinking about it or have my own agenda, it doesn't really, it's not effective.
And, I think you're really onto something, because I start out life as a writer, and sometimes my best writing came when I had nothing to do with it. I was just a secretary taking it down.
I wrote my book that way. I sit down, I imagine the top of my head literally unhinged. I'm sure other people find that easier to imagine than I did. it's like it keeps leaning in. And then the things come in. They're already there. I told my mom, I'm writing this, my second one-person show, and the first one ended up being basically my book, Knee Deep in Paradise. And this one is...
Knee Deep in Paradise?
Paradise, that was the name of my book. And I started out writing, I went mad. And in our small village, the news traveled fast. And it was about, and I wondered how long would have to pass. It seemed to have to take a long time between when something happens to me and when I can write about it. Some of my fiction, and I've not lived in the South in over 20 years, is very gothic and specifically Southern and rural with very little civilized accoutrement. It's just emotions and events and weather patterns and wooden floors. And I haven't lived there in ages. I stay in five-star hotels. I don't know where it's coming from.
Is the weather with the H or without the H?
What? Tell me the
In the weather patterns.
Oh.
You can have it both. Can have it both ways.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah.
My guest is Brett Butler, comedian, actress, writer.
That's deeper. Now we'll
provocateur. She's appearing at Comedy Works.
Say enchantress. That makes it easier for the
enchantress
Republicans.
And seductress. She's. Can you hang with us a little while longer?
Yeah.
I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:41, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 78 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This KNRC traffic report is brought to you by JCPenney, and a real tough drive, a westbound I-70 around Peoria. We had a rollover accident there, and all sorts of emergency vehicles are on scene. They're actually having to take people off of the highway at Peoria and put them back on, so watch for some major delays. Also, eastbound I-70 is affected for that. Everything else, though, is looking much better around the metro area. The JCPenney huge sale Friday and Saturday. Everything's on sale, no exceptions, plus great doorbusters and an additional 10% off sale prices Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. JCPenney, I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
A minor accident this afternoon involving two planes. planes at the Jefferson County Airport. A plane turning around on a runway ran into another plane that was waiting to take off. No injuries reported in that mishap. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. Denver police are still looking for the suspect in two attempted sexual assaults last night. Two women were attacked in two incidents separated by only about 15 minutes. Both incidents took place in the University of Denver neighborhood. This afternoon, DU officials are announcing a $5,000 reward for information leading to the suspect's capture and conviction. You could be paying even more at the pump come June 1st. The EPA has ordered that gas sold must be less volatile than what we're currently getting at the pump. The plan is to reduce the amount of ozone in the area since the less volatile fuel will evaporate more quickly. Or more slowly, rather. Quest Choice Business, your business line plus any five features for only $39.99 a month. Simple, flexible, affordable. That's the spirit of service in action. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:43.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Chris Alice, sounds romantic. It's the latest in lens treatments. Your plastic lenses will not scratch and are glare-proof. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. For night driving, computers, movie theaters, and more, ask for Chris Alice. The difference is bright lights and blur or clarity. You choose. When trusting International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard, you will always find the latest in lens technology and one of the largest selections of eyewear in Denver. We are so excited to be celebrating our 9th anniversary. Call to set your annual eye exam with Dr. Sogel Kelly and select that perfect new frame and lenses. Reach for any of our star frames and pay $44 when you purchase prescription lenses. And don't forget to ask for Crizal Alizé. Seeing is a wonderful gift. It's time to see International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard to help select a fabulous frame and new lenses. See you soon.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're really going to have some kicking winds through the afternoon and into this evening, so a red flag warning has been posted. This is hazardous fire weather. Windy and warm with a high of 81. Increasing clouds tonight, a low around 45. It'll be cooler tomorrow, partly cloudy. Chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, a high of 53. Mostly sunny and 54 on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 78 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow here, back to invite you to get deeper into movies at Madstone Theaters at Tamarack Square during the Premiere Pick Series. 6 weeks of six critically acclaimed films showing for 1 week only.
And this week we'll be watching Made Up, a comedy starring Brooke Adams and Tony Shalhoub. I thought it was an interesting commentary on our culture's obsession with beauty.
It's been called a coming-of-middle-age comedy, or better yet, Mom Gets an Extreme Makeover.
You know, I've had a crush on Brooke Adams since Days of Heaven and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And Tony Shalhoub is always entertaining. He also directed Made Up. A lot of folks know him from the TV show Monk.
I think KNRC listeners will really have a lot of fun with this film. I'd love to hear their reaction of it.
That's easy enough. Come see Made Up and then come tell Walter and me what you think. We'll be at Madstone Theaters every Saturday night leading a free discussion of the premiere picked film of the week.
Made Up runs from March 26th through April 1st only at Madstone. For showtimes and information, call 303-752-3200 or visit MadstoneTheaters.com.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:47 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me live in studio, comedian, author, provocateur, seductress, enchantress, horse owner.
Socialist with a gold card. Hypocrite.
Former lover of millionaire Marxist married man.
Yeah, he's still my buddy.
Brett Butler appearing at Comedy Works tonight. at 8 o'clock, which is the non-smoking show, even though her shows always smoke, and 10 o'clock tonight, and tomorrow, 6:30, is the non-smoking show, and 8:30 p.m. are the two shows. What are you going to be doing? Do you do the same thing at all shows? Do you have a sort of a routine workout?
I do, but I don't know the order, and I have new stuff. I'm in and out. Like, I was here last in September, so people are going to hear repeated stuff, but I have new things, too. I'm pretty excited about this thing with USA, the McLeod thing, coming up. Like, the script is really good. I don't know when we're going to shoot it, but this is the third script they've authorized. And McLeod, I'm playing Sam McLeod on USA.
On USA?
Network.
Okay.
You remember the show McLeod with Dennis Weaver?
Oh, yes.
I'm doing
so
the remake.
So they're reprising
it? I'm playing it. I'm playing Sam McLeod.
Are you playing the Dennis Weaver role?
Yeah.
And you're going to be Sam like Samantha?
Yeah, Samantha McLeod, but she's in Tennessee and goes to L.A. as opposed to Taos, New Mexico, and New York City. Because New York's really, I mean, New York and me are a lot alike. You know, we just kind of shoot from the hip and are in a hurry. And but me in Los Angeles is, this is just a good script. It's a good way to contemporize it.
When's it going to get underway?
I don't know. I think we've got one more polish to do. I'm one of the executive producers of it. And we're doing that.
What does it mean when you're an executive producer? You put it together, you help the cast,
the talent.
They
gave it to me. It was really great. They gave it to me, and which means that, how do I put it? I have creative input, and the people at USA.
You hire the writers?
No, actually people that sort of know, I get to meet them and approve them, but people that sort of know what they're doing do that. People who have a reputation with the network and have done stuff. And this woman, Nell Scovel, has written from everything from, like one-hour dramas that are really good to Letterman and The Simpsons. So they thought of us.
I love The Simpsons.
I sort of think of this as more like The Rockford Files. That's how I want to do it, and I'm not holding myself up to the level of James Garner, believe me. But, you know, that show was funny.
Was that Stephen J. Cannell? He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Stephen with the Rockford.
Yeah.
The
creator, he's a cutie pie, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a cutie pie. Has
but
his own plane, too.
Had that James Garner thing where, you know, you can be funny, and then, you know, I used to like when he either had to hit somebody or somebody's going to hit him, and he went, oh, he's so hot. I love him.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yes, he's on TV.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, so what are you going to do at the Comedy Works? Are you talking about politics? What are you talking about? Everyday things? What gets you? When you do, when something as horrible as 9/11 happens, what happens to a comedian after that? I mean, you can't really do very much until much later with that, can you?
Well, no. I mean, I'm lucky. I was working literally a week after that. I was actually at I did a show.
Did you ignore it completely when you were working a week after that?
I feel bad for comedians that just do cat and dog stuff and observational things. But I said, look, I don't know how this happened. I'm some, like, you know, American chick's Episcopalian that never goes to church. And I have a radical job. I didn't know I was the enemy until today. I didn't know that I woke up and, you know, I'm an infidel and I'll never have a burqa. And, you know, you'll never see me staring out of, you know, one set of cotton sheets when my little girls are in clothes. I don't know what happened. I do know that I can't tell who you vote for when you're laughing. And there's one thing I do good. Doctor's in the house. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I flew to, actually, my first gig was in Boston on flight number 12. It was the sister flight of that American flight. And my old landlord died on one of those planes. I saw everybody rising up to either become very fearful and start loathing and become very protective. Like Dennis Miller said, I can't believe more people didn't get freaked out about that. Well, I did, but I did it in a way that made me see the rest of the world.
I think he's such a whore now. Honest to God. I used to think he was funny. And then before I realized how he had, I think he conveniently altered his politics because it was a better gig is what I'm thinking. But even before that formally happened, I was watching him do something and it was just a lot of, just trying to out-hip the room and a lot of smarmy, just a lot of words together to make him seem ever so ironic. And I thought, you know what, this isn't funny. This is about his ego.
I like when Dennis has an organic aspect to the riff. I really do. He's always been, I have to say this, and, you know, talk about horrors. I mean, you know, I don't agree with his politics. He's always been fantastic to me and supportive of the fact that, I mean, he let me open for him when he was, quote, a household name before me. And he wasn't ever intimidated or put off by, like, a funny woman. And a one-on-one, toe-to-toe in private life, Dennis knew what it meant to me, that I didn't just, when I got my show and got money, that I wasn't just like going, wee, let's go shopping. I mean, I went places and I bought books and I began to just mainline the things that I'm such a curious person. Dennis had a real awareness of my enjoyment of the earth and making it bigger for myself. He quelled for me. And in very specific ways. And it's, you know, and that's why I don't live in Montecito, because that's a real social climbing place.
What happened to you when you got money finally?
Does
it take an edge off, or does it actually give you many more opportunities, or maybe both of those?
I'd be a liar to say money wasn't a fine thing, because of the freedom and the privacy that it buys. And frankly, because the money is a direct result of my celebrity, I need that crap. Like when I got this farm, it's 90 acres. I'm sitting at the pond the other day with my sister at the dock, and I said, I've been stared at for 10 years. I am by myself right here. And I love it. I'm with my family. When I go out to eat with my family, and I don't hate it, and I'm not shy, but sometimes if I'm with people, I go, I'm eating right now. Can I come say hi after or something like that?
You mean when people come up to
you? Some people are really incredibly rude. You know how your mother used to say, it's just a few that spoils it for the many. That's the way celebrity is, or it's just some jerk coming up.
And they can turn on a dime, too. Day of the Locust. Yeah. You know, they love you today, and if you don't sign that autograph, they hate you.
AM radio, but they can blow me, too. You know, I mean, they're really rude. I got a letter one time. I don't like the death penalty. There's not ever a circumstance I like it. I do think about it sometimes. I'm not one of these people. I think, boy, we need to kill that person. That person needs to die.
Oh, no. The death penalty is too good for people who need to die.
Let them think about it.
I'm against it.
Do
you like the part where they alcohol you first before they do the lethal injection so you don't get a cootie?
A friend of mine, Michael Krawczyk, has covered over 250 down in Texas. And he said one time before the partition was there, the needle flew out of the guy's arm and it was spraying the people. And he said, and I was wondering about the manners involved in ducking the lethal fluids. No, but I was going to say... I forgot where I was going, the death penalty.
Well, in Texas, you know, they impose it so often that if you steal a frozen chicken before it's even thawed, you have the lethal injection. You get that death penalty.
You know, I was at a state fair in Sacramento, California, and a girl came up. It was one of my favorite celebrity moments. She goes, would you sign my pig? My pig. And she's holding this cute little pig. I love baby. I'm just looking at it. I was a vegetarian for a year, but it was just too hard, so I love them, but now I'm eating them, too. So she gives me the pig, and I wrote my name on the pig's butt. And then she took the pig and looked at me with these glowing eyes, and she goes, thank you. On account of you signed him, I'm not going to slaughter him now. So then I had this fantasy about going to Huntsville, Texas, and write my name on the asses of all the condemned. You know, you're free now, Bubba. Go and romp in the mud.
You have a wonderful time. If you go to Comedy Works this weekend, Friday night, 8 show and 10 p.m. show, Saturday night, 6:30 and 8:30, Brett Butler.
Thank you for having
me
on, Enid.
Thank you so much for joining us today. What
a
great treat.
Meeting, and yeah, I'm going to say it. A woman with a gig in a town like Denver, a gig like this, I envy you, and I envy Denver for having you, so thank you.
Oh, are you nice? Thank you so much, yeah. And thank you for joining us. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
Okay. KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been thinking about donating your car, boat, truck, or RV? Jewish Family Service makes helping the less fortunate while saving on your taxes as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Call Jewish Family Service at 303-597-5000. 2. Arrange a pickup time. 3. Get a receipt for your tax donation. It's that easy. Call JFS at 303-597-5000 or visit their website at jewishfamilyservice.org and point your car in a direction that will help children and families in need.
Of your talk radio selections in Denver, we want to make you some promises today. We won't be reading you the Denver Post newspaper every day like they do on one station. We figure you can read for yourself. Or that other station with Dr. Laura. She's annoying. And why choose a station with all syndicated talk shows? Here's what you get when you try to dial in with your opinion.
We're sorry. Please check the number.
At AM 1150 KNRC. When you call in, we'll let you have your say.
It's really a 24/7 station.
That's what hearing both sides talk is all about. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com.
To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Well, it's about 2:59. We're at the end of it, and Billy Thorpe is filling in for Doug Kellett tonight, so he'll take over from 3 to 6. I have a lot of people to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson. I want to thank Jordan Lyles. Billy, what are you going to be talking about?
We're going to take a look at Walmart versus Costco. There's a very intriguing argument in Wall Street Journal today talking about what Wall Street thinks of Walmart versus Costco and which one they like and why.
Costco is so much more successful than Walmart. And I confess I'm a member of Sam's Club, and I just became a member of Sam's Club. And it's junkier, but it's closer.
And so that's one of the arguments.
And Costco does a better job of great with both. So I'm eager to hear what you conclude. Thank you. Billy Thorpe on from 3 to 6. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Do something generous. Have a great weekend. I'll see you at the Comedy Works. I'll see you at the Manstone Theater. I'll see you at noon on Monday. I mean it. Have a great weekend.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chip Reed. Some Republicans want National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice to testify publicly before the 9/11 Commission. Some of the president's supporters think Rice could help shore up the administration's credibility after this week's damaging testimony from former counterterrorism aide Richard Clark. NBC's Bob Kerr is at the White House, where officials are only requesting another private meeting between Dr. Rice and the panel for now.
The White House is saying that it is critical that a presidential advisor such as Condoleezza Rice not have to appear publicly before a congressionally created commission.
Two tanker truck accidents have closed some East Coast highways. A bridge linking New Jersey and Staten Island is shut down, and a section of I-95 in Connecticut will be closed indefinitely. On Wall Street, the Dow was off almost 6 points. The S&P dropped over a point. NASDAQ lost 7.5 points. I'm Chip Reed, NBC News Radio.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house, that's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you